Sakura, Sky, and Loki.
This week, the internet is outraged on behalf of a talented 9-year-old Fortnite player. Also this week, the internet learns about the Children's Online Privacy Protection Act and, more importantly, its exceptions. This is just one headline in the week's news. Stay tuned for the rest, starting right now in the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Orange Lounge Radio.
Hello, my friends out there on the internet. Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, live tonight with episode number 819 for this May 10th, 2020. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm all alone here in the studio, although we would usually all be here in the same room taping. As you know, there's a lot of things going on in the world right now that are preventing that. So joining me, thanks to the magic of Discord, say hello to Techmaster Loki.
Hello.
Hi, Loki. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Good, good. Did you do anything special for Mother's Day for like your wife or your own mom or anything like that?
I bought her a cake yesterday, and then I cooked dinner today.
Oh, well, there you go. That's very good of you. I think I saw the picture on Facebook. Was that today or yesterday?
It was today.
Ooh, that looked good. It was like you did like fried chicken or something, but in the air fryer, right?
Yeah, it's air fryer honey butter wings.
Yeah. Oh, your infamous honey butter, right?
Yes, yes.
All right, awesome. I'll come back and talk more about food with you in just a minute. Not joining us tonight, unfortunately, Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers. And I do want to quickly let you guys know what's going on. So last week's show got a little bit weird because Jamie had to leave partway through the show. What happened, guys, is that Dark Sakura got word halfway, or not even halfway, probably like a quarter of the way into the show last week. Dark Sakura got a phone call that her dad had been admitted into the hospital and was in the emergency area being tested and so forth. Unfortunately, I don't have great news to report. Her father passed away this week, and so as you can imagine, she's taking some time off tonight to handle things and decompress with everything going on. So obviously we're sending our best wishes and so forth to Dark Sakura. It's definitely not an easy thing to be going through, especially with everything else that's going on in the world. So yeah, I did get her permission to tell you all that had happened. I think it would be okay for me to as well tell you it was not COVID related, because I think that's good. I think just in this day and age, that is going to be a curiosity that happens. Although that was a scare, you know, any time you're in the hospital and you're showing certain symptoms, that is something that they're looking at. But I felt it appropriate to say it's not that. But I will let Dark Sakura give more details if she wants to, which she's under no obligation to do, when she returns to the show, be it next week, the week after, however much time she needs. So I know it's a tremendously difficult thing to go through with losing a parent. So, yeah, I'm just thinking of her, and I'm sure we all are in chat and so forth right now. So, yeah, I just wanted to let you know why last week's show got a little weird there in the middle, and why Jamie's not here tonight, and we'll come back whenever she pleases. So, moving on, because we do try to do this show to take our minds off of all the craziness going on in the real world, be it personal tragedy or the tragedy that is seemingly surrounding us in the globe every day with what's going on in the world. I know a lot of us run to our Animal Crossing towns to escape what's going on. I don't blame you. I'm very similar in this day and age. So with that being said, let's use video games as an escape for a little bit. Let's talk about some big gaming news and some things to look forward to amongst all this year, starting with our kickoff tonight, talking about the Xbox Series X event. So, Loki, last week on the show, we set some, I guess, not so great expectations for the event.
Yeah.
So, yes. Well, you know, and
we understand why the summer of gaming is stretched out for 4 months, because they're stretching out the news for 4 months.
Well, here's the thing, too. And I don't know if it was said before we had taped last week or after that it was going to be all third party. Sorry, we missed the memo and didn't get to relay that during the show. So, you know, if that was before the show, then our bad, we missed it. There's a lot of information about the event going around. But I do think we had also said, you know, set your expectations at a reasonable level. It's May. So, like, you know, I'm going to be completely honest. I kind of clicked through the event because I forgot it was at 8 a.m. Usually these types of things are at like noon my time, because being on the West Coast, I can usually, you know, I don't have to worry about like sleeping right through it or something. So I was distracted with day job work stuff, and I had no idea, none, that it had even happened until it was already over. So I kind of ended up going like clicking through it, and that was the point I kind of heard, well, it was kind of just a bunch of third-party trailers. Did you watch it, Loki? Was that what you walked away with?
I did watch it, and there was some interesting things there, but like they came out first. They said, okay, you know, we've heard the internet. Oh, you guys giving us a hard time about gameplay trailers. Well, we're telling you now, they're gameplay trailers, and then they show a bunch of trailers that aren't gameplay. So it's like, guys, what are you doing? They had some interesting things. I mean, I really enjoyed like some of the trailers they had for what was it? That one Medium that looked pretty awesome. The game, the Medium, which basically looked like a spiritual successor to Silent Hill
Is that even the one that Akira Yamaoka is like actually involved with?
Yes, yeah, he is. Yeah. I was like, well, is this Silent Hill? Like, I hear Akira Yamaoka. Is this Silent Hill? Yeah. So that one is by the makers of the Blair Witch and The Observer. Blair Witch is pretty good. Mm-hmm. And then there was Scorn, which I have no idea what that was. Some horror game, looks like was it H.R. Geiger or something like that? And that looked kind of weird. Or maybe that's Chorus. I don't know. There's a lot of these games that were kind of similar. Overall, I thought it was pretty good. Didn't really care so much about the Madden stuff, but whatever. And then, of course, Assassin's Creed. I was really hoping to see some actual gameplay, but of course not. I don't know. The new Yakuza game, I guess I got to get into the Yakuza series because that looked pretty awesome. Like a Dragon.
Yeah, just quickly about the gameplay, because that seemed to be the recurring theme from a lot of people. And you kind of hit on that, you know, with what you said earlier, that most people were hoping like this was going to be the chance to see some gameplay. And it really like wasn't gameplay. Like, OK, sure, there might have been like 3 seconds of gameplay.
It's in engine footage, whatever. No. OK,
yeah. Right. And it was really it was funny because Bobby went into this on his show tonight because I haven't given this line out yet during the show. We do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOGNetwork at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. And Bobby on his show tonight was talking about this. And I thought it was funny because he kind of went through some of the footage and he actually like blew up the little disclaimer that was at the bottom of the screen that kind of talks about how, you know, and it's very typical, you know, what you see in trailers, but like, you know, the game footage is not final. It's, you know, all, you know, prior, what they expect it to look like and all this stuff. So it was kind of rendered preview things. It just didn't look like people were actually playing these games. You know, it just looked like, oh, they're either rendering these cinematics in engine, or there's a lot of shooty shooty bang bang, but it's very scripted and reacting a lot faster than a person actually playing it would be doing, and so forth. But, you know, considering that the line is getting more and more blurred, and there was an interesting take I was reading online about this, about how, you know, part of the reason why maybe we're not feeling it so much with, you know, what we saw this week is that, you know, when the graphics went up from Nintendo to Super Nintendo, huge jump. When they went up from Super Nintendo to the Nintendo 64 and PlayStation era, the first 3D era, that was huge. That was a huge jump in graphics, right? Like, oh my God, 3D, right? And then going from the PlayStation 1 to the PlayStation 2, that was a huge upgrade. You know, DVD and all the extra stuff that could be stored with that. PlayStation 2 to PlayStation 3, that was a pretty big jump. 3 to 4... A minor jump, not as big of a jump, but still a noticeable jump, right? You know, more HD stuff and more 60 frames a second and things like that. Okay, so you notice an upgrade. Now that we're going from 4 to 5, it's almost like we're pushing the limits of what our eyes can actually see, that it's just like that graphical improvement isn't there. So it's almost like we need to know what are the other bells and whistles because the graphics aren't doing it anymore. And I think that's why this particular reveal event was a struggle, because it's harder to ooh and ah at the graphics. I mean, yes, it looks good. Yes, it's very smooth.
Yeah, the graphics were fine, but like, there's, I just wanted to see more like gameplay, like what these games are, because there's some like I don't even know what this game is. Like, it's hard for me to understand what exactly it is that I'm going to be playing. Whereas, like, some of them, like the Yakuza stuff, at least that I have a pretty good idea. And I know that, like, okay, those cutscenes, those are actually in-game and stuff. But, like, yeah, I don't know.
And just the fact that, you know, okay, I don't think this was a bomb or a, you know, horrible, like, it was not like the Xbox One reveal, okay? That was a disaster. This wasn't a disaster. This was just kind of like a, okay, or maybe a, oh, or like maybe a overall meh, but with a couple minutes of, oh, neat. For example, the Xbox is getting a new Yakuza game. Oh, neat. You know, that was okay. So that's kind of neat, you know, or, the Silent Hill folks are working on a new game for Xbox. Oh, okay. Neat. You know, but we just didn't really get to see the gameplay, but at least it did have those few moments of, oh, neat. Right. But I think when the first party reveal happens and we start to do the real deep dive into this new Xbox Series X, I think that's when it's going to have to be a little more than just, oh, neat. It's going to have to be, oh, I want that. I'm going to go pre-order that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's some games, you know, that were like, oh, that's pretty cool. So far, like, you know, then of course they said, okay, well, we're going to have another event later on in July. And it's like, fine, I guess. Just wait for him, all that stuff in July.
I'm trying to find some comments from our chat over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork. Bonds006 says HDR2 and 4K. Bleeding edge graphics is okay, but gameplay is better. Something else to consider with 4K too is just how many games are we actually going to see with it? Because 4K is going to be a beast for those artists to make those types of textures. Like there's a limit.
I think that that's pretty typical nowadays in the PC space. So I think everyone's kind of used to it already. Yeah. And, one of the things I did like though was they were talking about that smart delivery. So that's that thing where if you buy, say, you know, Assassin's Creed Valhalla on Xbox One, you also get the free upgrade to the Series X or vice versa.
Honestly, that's exciting. And I think it's one of those things where now, like, backwards compatibility becomes almost more important when trying to sell your new console. And I think that's why Sony is much more on board with it this time. And, you know, Microsoft's definitely making it a piece of what they're saying, too. But there's also a lot of people out there that are like, I don't think I really need an Xbox Series X because I'm going to play all these games on PC. Is that really a loss for Microsoft? I don't think so.
I don't know if all these games will be on PC. I mean, a lot of them will be, but everything is going
to
be.
The third-party stuff, it's hard to say. Fair. But we know the first-party Microsoft stuff all will be. Like, they've said that as much. Like, Halo's going to be on PC. Like, they're all going to be on PC. So, you know,
I think it just depends on what the specs are to get them to run the way that they do. Because, like, I mean, I have a pretty new laptop, so I'm hoping that stuff should run really well. But, I mean, eventually at some point it's not. So mm-hmm. I need to see what I need to have it run at the speed that they, you know, it should run or whatever. But, yeah, I mean, that was the thing. It's like, well, I don't know if I really need to necessarily buy an Xbox because I can just have a PC. I don't know, maybe with Games Pass and stuff, you know, if they add, I mean, if that's just, that's going to be a big part of it as well. So you're going to have three generations of systems where mm-hmm. they have games for it. And
I do think Games Pass is great. And I've said that on the show before. I think the one place that Game Pass could improve is that they do have such a robust library of Xbox 360 and original Xbox games that could be on that service, but for whatever reason aren't. And especially first party Microsoft titles, you know. So maybe they're just drip feeding it. Maybe we'll see more. I don't know. But, you know, Xbox Game Pass, I think I'm a big fan of that. And to see how that's going to impact, you know, the next generation of Xbox. I want to get some more comments from chat. Bonds006 says, graphic porn does not make up for a lackluster game design, bland gameplay, shoddy AI. And yeah, this trailer binge that we got, we couldn't really see any of that other stuff. Not that, you know, events are really going to clue you in if the game has shoddy AI or not. But still, I think a lot of us like to see the gameplay to see what's it really going to look like when we get our hands on it. Fifth Dream Today says, the fast loading, the smaller download sizes, the 3D sound chip. I'm already sold. So, very true. Let's see. Johnny Wufei talking about ray tracing. New Killer Instinct with ray tracing would be amazing. So, yeah, ray tracing, obviously a big part of the next generation of gaming. And I know my current PC, my current video card can't really handle it. So, you know, that may be something I'll have to go to. Either I got to improve my video card, or I'll have to go to an Xbox Series X to experience that. We'll see what happens. You know, something else this event kind of made me think of, you know, again, guys, it's May, you know, and usually this type of binge doesn't start till June. And with everything going on in the world, I don't think many of us would be surprised if it's delayed a little bit past early June, the E3, I'm using my quotey fingers, time frame that we would usually see these events in. But, you know, let's imagine, as I'm sure many of you have been doing these past few months, let's imagine COVID, Corona had never happened. Let's imagine this whole pandemic never happened. I know, it's hard to do. And then we had E3 like usual. I think you would see Microsoft coming out on stage and, you know, talking about their new system. They're only going to have an hour and a half or 2 hours, and they've got to fit in, you know, their system and all the reasons why you should upgrade to the new system, as well as announcing their own games and games you should be looking forward to. I think a lot of this stuff we saw in the Inside Xbox would have been relegated to that third-party sizzle wheel. Right, y'all know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, the sizzle reel. I mean, and a lot of them, like, see a lot of the games, I'm like, oh, is this? Because I thought it was something else. Like, for example, Vampire the Masquerade, originally when they were showing that, I was like, ooh, is this Bioshock? And a new Bioshock? And it's like, oh, no, it's Vampire, which is fine. I mean, I guess that game's pretty good.
And that's not to say they won't show third-party games still at the big event, whatever, you know, the virtual event they end up doing. That's not to say they won't, like, if there is a new Bioshock, that's not to say they won't show that. But I think these particular games that got shown were probably the things that would have been relegated to the sizzle reel. And now it's a little bit of a win-win situation. Win that they get that time back that would have gone to the sizzle reel, right? So we can see something else at the show. And B, you didn't just get a sizzle reel, you got much more content from these third parties, and you got, you know, to see more of, you know, these games for better, for worse, with the rendered trailers and so forth. So I think this was the supersized sizzle trailer.
I just think that they should be really careful with what they're calling gameplay. Like, if it's in engine footage or something like that, that's fine. Because especially Ubisoft, I mean, we're talking about not just a few years ago, we had the whole debacle over Watch Dogs, where they showed stuff that ended up being, you know, downgraded when the full retail version came out, or Aliens Colonial Marines, you know, remember that whole thing where none of the footage even resembled the final game when it came out. So need to be very careful with that.
A lot of people in chat, and I know it came up on Bobby's show as well, not to rehash things too much, but the Killzone PS3 debacle and how the Target rendered footage that they showed at the event didn't even match what ended up happening. That's been talked about quite a bit tonight.
And I get it. It's still early, but don't one, call it a gameplay trailer, and two, don't have another, like, a brief moment before all the trailers saying, hey, we get it, you guys, you know, you come down on us when we call this stuff gameplay and it's not, but we promise you it's gameplay. Like, don't have that before all of this if it's not gonna be that. Like, I don't understand why you set yourself up even more.
Yeah, that was a weird setup.
I mean, I don't know, it's weird, like, without the UI and stuff on there, it doesn't look right. And I get it, like, there's like cut scenes and stuff like that are rendered in game, but I don't know. If it's all cutscenes, it's kind of ridiculous.
Okay, this comment is too good. I have to read it. This is about you and that vampire trailer. Bobby Blackwolf says, cue up the "is this" anime butterfly meme. Loki is the anime boy. Vampire is the butterfly. Is this Bioshock? It's good.
Well,
I like that.
Like when he had like the guy like stringing up the people in the house and stuff like that, I was like, oh, okay, that kind of looks like a splicer or something like that.
We've all done it. I'm positive because you know, if you can go back to last year's E3, if you happen to be a subscriber of VOG Network here at Twitch, wink wink, nudge nudge, you can go back into the video footage and look at everything. And I don't remember if Bobby and I were commentating on like a Microsoft event or it was the Square event. But I know that there was like a trailer that came up and I'm like, ooh, this looks like such and such. And it totally wasn't. You
or
know,
like
and that,
Four,
and that
like
happens.
Dirt 4 is like, thought that was a Forza Horizon game. I'm like, I mean, it's heavily inspired by it. You know, it looks,
it happens.
I don't know. I was like, Is this Horizon?
And look, I can openly admit it because y'all do it with video games too, and it happens with movie trailers. So it's not just games where this happens. You've totally seen movie trailers, and a person will show up, and you'll be like, oh, "Is this the trailer for a new Marvel thing?" And it's like, "Oh no, it's not. it's a ripoff or something like that." Or, "Is this the new Pixar movie?" Oh no, it's not Pixar. Something like that.
Is this the new Iron Man? Oh, that's Dr. Doolittle.
Exactly. You've all done it in the movie theater. Come on. So, yeah. But anyway, again, the event wasn't bad. It just was kind of like, oh, that wasn't really gameplay. All right. So we're really looking forward to your, I guess, now July event instead. So now it'll be just what's interesting to see through all this, of course, is how is Sony going to play this? Because we still don't know. Does Sony plan to do something in June when E3 would have been? Is Sony going to wait for July? Because as we've talked about on the show before, Microsoft pulled out the Switch 2 months before it released. So hypothetically, if consoles aren't releasing until November, we may not hear anything until September.
Nintendo pulled out the Switch?
They did.
You said Microsoft.
Oh, God. All right. Sorry. It's been a long, long 7 weeks. So, yes, Nintendo pulled out the Switch. Sorry. With only like 2 months to go because it was like early January. And granted, the holidays come into that and everything. But still, and the Switch sold like cuckoo bananas because they had all the right games for it and the right things to say. So you don't need 5 or 6 months of lead time unless maybe you're trying to collect all those pre-orders. I don't know. But Nintendo kind of changed the games in many way with Switch's launch. You don't have to launch a console for the holidays. You don't have to launch a console with 6 months lead time, and you can still be successful. So we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, I'm still excited for Xbox Series X. I'm sure the July event's going to be great. I'm excited for Sony's event as well. And I'm excited for Nintendo to announce, you know, what their plan looks like for the rest of the year. I just really like games. So you ever go on Twitter and look like, and I'm telling you, actually don't do this, but have you ever made the mistake of going on Twitter and like looking at an Xbox tweet and looking at the reply and it's all Sony fanboys like saying really mean things? Or you go to a Sony tweet and you look at all the replies and it's Microsoft fanboys saying very mean things. I'm so tired. Y'all, it's 2020, and I'm tired. Like, just stop. Stop fighting.
We don't have sports teams to root for right now, so we have to root for the console wars.
It's so disturbing. Like, stop. And I know, Rob, don't read the comments. You're right. I should know better. I can't help it. Like, sometimes you click, and, I saw it. So, anyway. And then Bobby says, and you go to a Nintendo tweet and it's all Nintendo fanboys saying mean things. Where is our direct, et cetera? Yeah, no, it's true. Nintendo kind of fights themselves, don't they? It's been 26 days since a Nintendo direct. I'm dying. Orange right in chat says, have you ever made the mistake of going on Twitter? You know, there's a lot of good and bad on Twitter. I've had a pretty darn good experience on Twitter. I've met a lot of great people on Twitter. I heavily curate my Twitter experience, and I heavily choose who I follow. I have two different layers of followers. I do. Yes, I follow like 1,600 people on Twitter. I do. Not nearly that many of them are active. I've also been on Twitter for 10 years, and there's a lot of accounts that ain't tweeting anymore. Sure. And here's the thing. I'm going to tell you my steps to how to stay on top of a 1,600 follower list. Number one, the minute I follow you, I disable your retweets. Number one, always. That's just been a policy. Like, I'm not interested in retweets. I'm interested.
Do that?
Huh? Yeah.
We can do that?
Oh, yeah. Yay. You go follow and you click on the dots on a person's profile and you can disable their retweets. And if I see any retweets come into my timeline where it's like I forgot, because sometimes if somebody has a protected account, you can't do that right away. So if I see a retweet come in my timeline, especially if it's something I really don't care about, I go to your profile and I hide your retweets.
Right. No, retweets I'm fine with. That's right. It's the likes that I want to stop getting in my
feed.
Yeah,
those don't. Well, when you follow as many people as I do.
Because everybody be thirsty out there and like.
It's true. Don't go to the curated timeline because you see a lot more of it there. You have to go to the actual chronological timeline. And then the other Twitter trick is quote tweets you can't really do anything about. And that's the one that's starting to become a pain. But a lot of times the things people say are funny, so okay. But the other very, very important thing is lists. And that's the other thing. So I have an invisible list, and you don't know if you're on it or not, of about 40-ish people. And that's the one I actually read with regularity and kind of stay current on. And then it's like one of those, if I'm bored or I'm not doing anything right now, I'm doing that whole lying in bed and I really shouldn't be on my phone, but I am. Then I scroll through the big timeline and read all the, 1600 thing crap. And then if you're tweeting a bunch of bullshit I don't want to see, I just mute you. Sorry. But like, especially, oh my God, the automated stuff, that's a mute. I feel like Grandpa Simpson. That's a paddling.
Every sponsored tweet I see, I block the account.
You have a robot that says how many people followed you today? That's a mute. You tweet too damn much about politics? That's a mute. You had the automated tweets are the things that really bother me. That's a mutant. So that's how I stay. That's a mutant. And that's how I stay on top of things. Bobby Blackwell says Rob mutes Vogue Network confirmed. No, I don't mute our own stuff. And here's the thing. With that, at least it's like, and I actually don't mute the people that say I'm going live on Twitch and all that. I don't mute that. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the one that says, I have 5 new followers today and 3 people unfollowed me. Thank you so much to da-da-da for whatever website for the stats. Or thanks at so-and-so for the follow. Thanks at so-and-so. For the, like they have a robot thing that tweets every time somebody follows them. That's a mutant. But if somebody, like I follow a lot of other Twitch streamers, let's be real. And if they tweet, hi, I'm going live on Twitch and I'm going to be playing something such and such tonight. Like our pal Jeff. I follow him. I don't mute him. He tweets a lot of funny shit too. And I actually really enjoy his clips from Twitch. So I don't mute that, So I do not mute Vogue Network. But I do mute, especially when like you have no other content. Anyway. One other Twitter trick. I know you're getting burned out on this, but now I'm on a roll. I don't follow everyone back automatically. Most people I do. But here's my trick. Because there's so many robots out there on Twitter nowadays. I assess your account in 5 minutes or 5 seconds to try to figure out if you're a real person or not. And here's my criteria. I go to your page and I click on your media tab. If I see and I scroll for 3 seconds. If I see a selfie of you, I know you're a real person and I'll follow you back. Or some other type of picture that obviously came from a cell phone camera, I follow back. If I see a lot of interaction with accounts and GIFs, then I kind of try to feel out, okay, is this content that I'm going to like? Then I'll probably follow back. If it's empty, garbage, if there's nothing there in your media tab, I don't follow back. Because that is almost a sure sign of a bot account. So that's, anyway, I'm not perfect 100% of the time. So please don't walk away from this. If you followed me on Twitter and I never followed you back with a tear, why won't Rob Roberts follow me on Twitter? It's not a perfect system. And Twitter doesn't always alert me when people follow me. So I miss it sometimes. But anytime somebody adds me or responds to something or likes something and I'm not following them, I usually go, I see they're following me. I'm like, why am I not following this person? And so just like one of my tweets and I'll usually catch it. So anyway. A Tiger Claw chat says, good thing Rob at least follows members of the community because we post good content. Yes, I follow people. Questbuster says, these Twitter tips are gold. You're welcome, I guess. I've been on Twitter a long, long time, and I've just kind of picked up that stuff. Tiger Claw says, I think Travis Donovan's Twitter does that sometimes. There's certain people I will let slide, and Grandpa Donovan is one of them. Shh, don't tell him, but even if he uses a robot, I don't have it in my heart to unfollow him. Bonds 006 says, or too much about 5G, new ways to make money, and why you're an expert on blah, blah, or Slimming Teas promotion, Herbalife. Oh, yeah, all that shit in your bio especially. Like, if it's like, follow my Twitch channel. Look, that's in my bio. I'm not going to disqualify somebody for having that. But if it's kind of like, make more followers, I'll tell you. That's a mutant. All right, anyway. They're Twitter tips with me that you didn't ask for that I went off for 10 minutes about. Sorry. Loki, do you have any hot Twitter tips?
No, I apparently need to start doing more things. I don't know. Really, the only thing I do nowadays is I just use the like button to bookmark stuff that I go back to later on.
That's fair.
Like, usually, like, I follow a lot of developers and they post like tutorials on how to do different things. I'm like, oh, hey, that's interesting. I want to do that. Or, that's interesting. And so I'll put it so I can, it pulls up in my liked feed.
You know what, though? Like, here's the thing, Loki, is that, like, you are so right, though, about the likes and that there's some very thirsty people on Twitter and the type of stuff that goes in the feed. And it actually makes me self-conscious about the types of things that I like on Twitter because I don't want y'all knowing. I like some of those thirst traps. I like some of those thoughts. Okay, that's what I call it, a thought.
I had to like block those people that were appearing to my feed. Not necessarily people that are liking those things, but I don't want to block a certain type of account.
You don't want somebody's, you know, like ass pic showing up in your feed. I understand
exactly.
Because trust, I follow some very good looking people. And I wish I could like more of your tweets. Please don't take it as a I don't want to show the world what a pervert I am. Okay, so that's why I don't like as many tweets. Once in a while I can't help it and I still like a few, or it's like it's a nice selfie and it's not actually like thirst content. I like the G-rated stuff. That's fine. So anyway. Bonds 006 says, thank you, Rob. I do not tell Facebook or Instagram my likes and such, music, food, places I've lived, school, etc. Oh, for sure. Like all that stuff. When you check in at locations, you're just opening yourself to getting ads for similar things. For sure. Absolutely. And like, I don't know what it is, Loki. Do you get this problem? On Facebook, every other ad I see on Facebook is some new startup men's underwear company of some sort.
No,
they
listen to you. I swear to God they do, because we'll say things that like all of a sudden they'll start, you know, showing that. It's like, I haven't searched any of this.
It's not a topic I often talk about out loud or anything like that. I'm like, did it track an Amazon purchase I made before I went on that cruise or something? Like, why am I seeing
it could have
nothing
and I hate the ones
but
like,
that?
I like view, like, there was an ad I saw for this, I don't even know what it was. It looks like this wearable subwoofer thing or something that they're talking about, like, for immersion for, like, VR or something like that. And I watched the ad, and I'm like, man, that looks stupid. And now almost, like, every time I watch a video on my phone, it's that same ad over and over. I'm like, dude, I don't want to look at this. I'm not interested in it. I looked at the ad, and it's like, whatever. Or I'll get recommendations all the time, like, if, you know, I buy something, then they're like, hey, do you want that again? Hey, do you want this thing that's exactly the same thing that you did? Like, it's like, I don't need another laptop. I don't need a tablet. I don't need this.
Okay. Pixel,
like, you're just advertising wrong.
Pixel Pockets in chat is asking, underwear startups? I'm meaning like companies you've never heard of. Like, everybody knows like Calvin Klein or Fruit of the Loom or things like that. Everybody knows that. These are companies like that I'd never heard of except on Facebook ads. And SSJ Matt, 100 Matt says, I will say, redacted, because I'm not giving them free exposure, are fantastic. Well, thank you, SSJ 100 Matt. By typing that name in chat, we're now all damned to see their ads for the next year. I'm just giving you a hard time. But I think that's kind of like how they pick it up, that stuff. And Pixel Pockets just said the same thing. Y'all are giving free ads. Now, Tiger Claw says, I see stuff like that all the time, and I can deal with it. It's nothing for me to get mad about. I just let it fly because I'm good at concentrating on what I want to see. You're right. Like, it doesn't bother me. I'm more the type where I'm like, what did I do to generate this algorithm? That's what I want to know. Like, is it just showing it to me because I'm a gay man? Because that's my primary theory. But I guess not, because SSG 100 Matt, I know, is not and is seeing those ads too. So maybe a lot of these companies advertise on podcasts and stuff too. So I think they just go everywhere, I'm sure. So anyway, all right, enough tangents. I'm sorry. Dark Soccer is not here tonight to keep me in line. All right, let's move on and talk about our gaming weeks. Take it back to video games. Loki, how was your game week?
So I played a few things this week. I went ahead and played through Earth Defense Force Iron Rain, so I finished the campaign on that. which unlocked like nightmare mode, and I'm like, no, I'm not gonna play that, because then I had to play the whole thing again, and the last mission like took like 30 minutes just to kill the stupid boss, and just no, that's it. We got through the story and it was okay. So I finished that game. Guts and Glory, that game that's kind of like Happy Wheels, so I finished that as well and played through all the tracks on that, and didn't really feel interested enough to play the user made tracks because those look like hot garbage, and so I'm just not going to do that. I played a bit of Stepmania today, and that was pretty fun.
Hey, quick side note. Sorry, I'm on a tangent, but since you brought up Stepmania, that makes me think of Stepmaniacs, right? The Kyle Ward and his company, the dance game. Have you been kind of keeping track on like their monthly releases? Like, they keep injecting new songs every month into the game. Have you seen that? It's pretty cool.
I saw it on my Twitter feed. Yeah, saw that. I've only played the game once.
The past couple months, it's been like half songs that many of us knew through Dance Dance Revolution. I'm sorry because I don't have the list in front of me, but I think I saw like Bumblebee by Papaya was in there, Waka Laka I want to say was in one of them, and it's songs that you probably found through DDR first are now in this game, and it's interesting because they're mixing it. It's not just those games, it's like you'll see one of those songs, you'll see a new song from that maybe you hadn't heard before, and then another one that kind of sounds like that Euro DDR sound, but it's not an actual song that was in the game before, but it's like from that same family. So it's an interesting mix. I wanted to give that a shout out and acknowledgement, because I thought I was like, that's kind of neat that they're supporting it every month, and it's kind of like a little mix of old and new. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, it was. I played it one time when we went to check out. There was a bowling alley in Rockland that has a pretty decent sized arcade with all these different music games in there.
Do they have that game?
They do have that game.
Oh,
yes.
Oh, I want to go check it out. Except everything's closed.
Yeah, unfortunately. So, I could not. My brain cannot handle doing DDR with a center arrow or center's step place. I can do Pump It Up okay, but DDR, just my brain's not wired to do that.
You have to tune down the difficulty to allow yourself to get accustomed to it. Like you're not going to be able to jump right in and do an expert level song. Until you get accustomed to it.
They want you to play it a little bit like Pump, too, where you have to hit like three steps at a time, which you can do by like putting your foot in between them. And so I'm just not really accustomed to that, which is why it was hard for me to do it. And I couldn't find out how to turn it off in options, or at least I couldn't figure out how to get to options, maybe.
Yeah, plus, a lot of the hardest level songs are designed for people to hold the bar and do the foot flying thing, which just not... You know, and I'm not here to start that debate, okay? I'm not here to start the debate, but all I'm going to say is, in my time playing DDR, that was something we really just never did. Like, and I, again, I'm not trying to start a war here, okay? I respect everybody's opinion. I'm too old to dance anymore, period. So I don't have an opinion on this topic anymore. But because of that, like, I cannot get used to trying to hold the bar to do these harder songs. Like, it's just
it's really awkward.
Yeah, and you know, getting older doesn't help. So
it's really awkward. I've tried doing that before, like on Max 300 or something like that, and I can't do it that way. I can't play that way, or like seeing people play doubles and stuff like that. I just can't do it. My feet aren't long enough, I guess. And then the last thing I think I played, Orna, played more Orna. So I'm like up to 170. I'm still trying to grind through stuff there. And let's see what else. I did play this one game called One Dreamer, Prologue. So they put out a kind of a little demo taste of the game. And so One Dreamer is this like pixel art point and click game. Where you hack things. So it takes place in this like virtual VR world or whatever, and you have to kind of hack stuff to progress through the game, which is pretty cool. So there's like almost like coding, but it's not exactly coding or anything. It's just kind of replacing values. And it's about these two kids that are inspired by one like this developer of this big massive VR game, almost like kind of like the whole Oasis stuff and Ready Player One. So they're inspired by him to create their own game, and then there's some story along with the developer on why he quit and got burnt out and like some other stuff. So it kind of hints at some things, but it's a beautiful game, like really worth checking out. The prologue is free on Steam to play. The full game is not out yet, but yeah, go check it out. One Dreamer Prologue is the game you want to look for, and it's just great. It's very short, probably about, you know, an hour, but it's definitely worth playing.
All right. That it. All right. Then let me talk about my gaming week. Since Jamie's not here, I will talk about Animal Crossing, which I'm still playing. Got my turnips today and all that good stuff. But the big development in the Animal Crossing world is Alan got his Switch on he got it a little early. He was supposed to get it on Saturday, but I think Best Buy had it on like Thursday. So he got his Coral Switch Lite, and so he just started playing Animal Crossing, and so maybe it was Friday because he hasn't even unlocked his museum is under construction today. So I think that's like day three. I don't know. I lost count. But anyway, he is starting Animal Crossing. So it's kind of interesting because Bobby on his show tonight talked about he kind of like has hit a wall with Animal Crossing a little bit. For me, I think I was getting close to that wall. But now that Alan has just started Animal Crossing, it's almost like, oh, I feel reinvigorated because I want to help Alan and I want to see his town grow and all this stuff. But what's really funny about it is that because Alan is like the new kid on the block with his new Switch, and, you know, we have several friends, including like Jamie, including, you know, some of our gaming friends in Chicago and other people on Twitter and stuff, everybody wants to help Alan. So like the first day he opened his island, everybody was taking their duplicate patterns, their hybrid flowers, their extra furniture. And like Alan is at a point where he looks like a hoarder's house because there is just furniture strewn all over the lawn and DIY patterns surrounding the store because he doesn't have the storage for everything because he can't upgrade his house fast enough to get the storage.
Yeah, I need to play that game. I would technically be layout the new kid. I'm not even on the block yet, so I would need to play that.
So just
my kids are giving up on it.
Just be careful. Tiger Claw said he should post the friend code on the Discord. It is on his social media. If you know his Twitter account, which isn't too hard to find, he did post it on there for what it's worth.
I need to add him. I haven't got a chance to actually get possession of my Switch to be able to do that.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So that's just kind of the funny thing I've kind of been watching him go through is that everybody is just dumping their shit on his lawn. And everybody's trying to be helpful. Like, nobody's doing anything wrong. But it's just funny. It's almost like I feel like he's almost overwhelmed with having to sort through everything. Because now he has these random patches of, well, I have some orange flowers over there that are just all kind of mixed together. I have some purple and pink ones over there that are just kind of all mixed together, and I have three villagers on my island. He hasn't even picked all his weeds yet. He's like, I kind of like the way the weeds look. And I'm like, no, you need to get rid of them or you're never going to get a 3-star rating. So it's kind of been fun and reinvigorating to experience the game from day one all over again through him. And like, you know, like Alan doesn't usually get into console gaming. So the fact that he bought a Switch and he's playing Animal Crossing is kind of a big deal. Like, he's like exclusively been PC gaming a long time. Like, I can't even think of the last time like I watched him sit down and play a console game. So this is kind of a big deal. And of course, now I showed him more, you know, because even though some things I own digitally, so he can't play them, like Super Mario Maker 2, like I can't like loan that to him. Some things I have on cartridge that he has expressed interest he wants to get into, like Zelda Breath of the Wild. So it will be kind of fun to revisit a lot of those games for the first time through him. That'll be pretty cool. So, all right. Bonds 006 says, a lot of my Facebook friends are begging others to come to their island. I like reading their pitches to get visitors. Without getting too deep into the psychology of it all, I think a lot of that is the time and age that we live in with all of this, my hands floating around here, going on in the world, is that you can't really go out and visit people in person. So Animal Crossing is kind of the way for some people to kind of get that contact with other people. So I think that's why you have a lot of people that are really open to, like, please come visit my village, even though I don't have anything that exciting going on today. Water my flowers, you know, or something. And I'm happy to go to other people's town and water their flowers. You never know what's in nooks. And I usually will keep a stash of oranges from my town or my islands, especially on me, and go sell them in other people's towns. So it's kind of like a point for me to go there. So, yeah, it's an interesting side effect of everything that's going on in the world. Anyway, it wasn't all Animal Crossing, but I wanted to update you on Alan getting his Switch this week. Some other games I've been playing. So I got sucked into another sale on the PlayStation Store. They had a Big in Japan sale, so there was a couple games I got on discount. One of them is Taiko no Tatsujin on PlayStation 4. I think it's called, maybe somebody in chat can correct me, I think it's Taiko no Tatsujin Drum Master is the subtitle of it, but it's like it's the PlayStation 4 release of Taiko no Tatsujin. So speaking of music games, you know, this is one that goes way back, right? Like Taiko no Tatsujin, when was the first round of those games? Probably in the PS2 era. And if you don't know, like there's a tiny little drum, or in the arcade, it's a big drum, and you can kind of, you either hit it in the middle, the left or the right side on the red notches, or you hit it on the rim with the blue notches on the left or the right side. And I was always kind of like, I don't know how that's really going to translate well to controller, but since it was on sale for like $14, I was like, eh, screw it, I'll pick it up. And so I did. And it's kind of fun to play on controller. They did it in a way where right and down, or X and O, I think, if I'm remembering my symbols right, are the inside, the reds. So it's like the inside of the controller is where you hit for the red, and then the outside, or the L1, R1, or L2, R2, are the blue ones, and you can hit those for the blue ones. So it actually, it makes it easy to kind of like do a drum roll like you would with the stick. So it's actually, it's not too terribly laid out. And I've been playing a variety. It's got a huge song list. No songs you would really know, probably, unless there are some classical songs in it, and there's a lot of anime songs in it. I don't follow anime so closely, but like the theme of Doraemon is in it, and so some of you that follow anime a little better than I do will probably recognize stuff in it. And there's a lot of J-pop in it, and so I don't know if these songs are huge or not, because I haven't really listened to them before, but they were catchy. There was a song in there called Linda Linda I thought was really, really catchy. So, because like, it's like a rock song. It goes, Linda Linda.
Mari tracks?
What?
Any Katamari track?
No, there's no Katamari track, but they do have other game soundtrack songs, including, it was weird, it's the Pac-Man song, but when it was in Ridge Racer. So it's Ridge Racer Pac-Man song. That is one of the songs in the game. And there's like a Soul Calibur 6 song and things like that. So, yeah. Oh, Bonds 006 says, what was the ripoff, this or Donkey Kong? I think Donkey Kong was after Taiko. They were about the same time.
It was. I think it was after.
Was it? Was it technically, did Namco have input on that game? Was it their version of it? I don't remember. And it's been so long, I don't remember. So. Oh, I didn't know that. Jason, our voiceover guy in chat, saying Linda Linda was an Ondon. I didn't know that. Okay, thank you, Bobby. Namco made Donkey Konga. Okay, I figured there had to be some. So that's why. So it was one of those. It's like Dr. Robotnik's Mean Bean Machine, or the Yoshi's Forest, or whatever it was. It's Puyo Puyo, but with the characters in it. Okay. Let's see. SSG100 Matt says, Taiko is such a fun arcade experience. I was always hesitant to see if that would translate to the console versions, and it totally does translate well. ActDev says, there's also Taiko no Tatsujin Drum and Fun on the Switch. I think it's fun because they put a lot of things to do in it. They have the little gotcha reward boxes things. But you don't pay for the boxes. Instead, you fill out these little mini bingo cards. So every song in the game, and there's got to be at least 50 of them, if not more, and there's a ton of DLC. You could probably buy like 30 or 40 more songs, but they want like $2 a song, so I haven't bought any of them. But every song has a little bingo card that goes with it, and it's a 3x3 bingo card. And as you do little certain accomplishments, you fill out the bingo card, and then when you get a bingo, three across or down, it's more like tic-tac-toe, so I don't know why they call it bingo. But when you get a bingo, you get a little coin, and you can use the coins in the shop to open, like, loot boxes. But luckily, they don't have, like, or at least I didn't see it, a DLC that's like, pay $20 and get all these loot boxes. I didn't see that. So I'm okay with the loot box thing when it's, like, self-contained like that. And I actually thought the little, because once you finish a bingo card, spoiler alert, if you get all 9 on a bingo card, you get a special bingo card that's even harder. So it kind of gives some replayability value. And I thought the online component is kind of neat. You can do ranked matches online, but you're not playing live against people. You're playing against people's ghosts. So it has a recording of somebody else playing a song, and you're playing against that. And I thought that was a pretty clever way to do it. So that way there's always somebody online to fight. Because you know how, like, sometimes in these games, once they've been out a year or two, nobody's playing them anymore? Well, nice with this thing being on sale, I can still go in and do ranked matches. And you do placement matches, and then you're given a certain rank, and you know, can level up, or you can even go down if you're not beating enough people. And I'm finding that, you know, I'm winning 2 out of 3. So far. I haven't played a lot of them, but it was kind of neat. I liked it. So, yeah, I thought ActDev says the bingo cards are only obtainable within game currency, and you can't buy that with real money. Good to know. Very good to know. Bobby Blackwell says, I have the PS2 Tyco versions. I have 4 of the games and the controller. Yeah, so, I mean, this is the first one I remember buying in a long time. So it's a lot of fun, and I'm enjoying playing it. The other game I bought on the PlayStation 4 sale, I'm going to stop for a minute here because this is very important. I'm about to say a very controversial gaming opinion that's probably going to make some of you very upset. So I'm just going to beg you, let me have my shitty opinion. Please don't rage unsubscribe or anything from the show because of my shitty opinion, okay? But I'm entitled to my shitty opinion. Here it is. The other game I bought on the sale is the Final Fantasy VIII Remake because it was $10. And I was like, you know what? It's high time. You know what? I need to give this game another chance. I always pick on this Final Fantasy game. It's always like the one I say is the worst because I can't stand the junction drawing and all that stuff. I've never really cared for Final Fantasy VIII. Let me give it another try. And so I started it up. I let it play. I got through the opening sequence and I was like, ooh, this CD video hasn't aged very well, but okay. It's, you know, they didn't have time to go redo it, whatever. And then the game starts. Loki, I have to be honest, Loki, it looks like garbage. I'm sorry. It looks so bad. Like, and here's the thing. This is the reason why. Let me justify my shitty opinion, okay? Because I already know some of you are like steaming. Look, we all have our problematic gaming opinions. This is mine. It's that juxtaposition of this really high definition, really good looking model of like Squall or Kestis and these characters. But then they didn't do anything to the backgrounds, which have not aged well since the PlayStation 1 era. They look very, like it looks like you're putting on a pair of bad glasses and everything's very blurred. And like, here's the thing. When I play the Final Fantasy VII, not the remake, but the Final Fantasy VII version that they put on PlayStation 4, it all looks kind of bad and grainy. And you go, oh, retro experience. But something about Final Fantasy VIII where it's like HD clashing with like non-HD at the same time, like I could not get past it, Loki. I could not get past it. I'm sorry. So there it is.
It's one of those games that would benefit from like that AI upscaled stuff where they do that on PC or something.
All right, I'm finally taking a look at trash to see, or I'm sorry, to take a look at chat to see if they're calling me trash.
Wow.
Uh-oh. And let's see. Bobby Blackwolf says, I'm not angry, I'm just disappointed. DJ Rama S says, the redheaded stepchild of the Final Fantasy games. Questbuster says, I'm not mad, I'm laughing. You stop playing where you want to, Rob. Bonds 006 says, we all have our moment of let me give X title a try. And Repcycled says, ooh, yeah, it wasn't what I expected. Repcycled says, the backgrounds are CGI renders. Can't they just re-render it in high res? Like, I feel like if it was that...
have the original files or something.
Yeah, and if it was that easy, they would have. Like, you know...
Well, wasn't there one... was it 12? Or one of them, they had, like, they found the old... Maybe it's even 8, where they found the older files and upscaled it to 720, but that may have been 8, actually, now that I think of it.
So I'm going to be, like, brutally honest. I turned the game off before I even got out of the Balam Garden. Like, I didn't even get into a battle. I was like, I literally just had I was playing it, and I'm like,
and like I access one of the computer terminals and like my eyes are hurting. It's so blurry and bad. And I'm like, and then I'm like walking through and I run into Selfie and I'm like, okay, let's take her on a little tour. Da, da, da. And I hit a point where I just put the controller on the table and I said, I can't. And I turned it off. I will. Now, before you Final Fantasy VIII fans send me your hate tweets and cyberbullying and hate email, I will try again this week because I owe it at least to get to a battle, okay? But
so you need to play on PC because someone did release a pack that they did the AI gigapixel upscaling to 4K, and it actually looks pretty good.
Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, the original source code was lost or destroyed or both. Final Fantasy 13, they found the original files and upscaled to 720. Yes,
that's what it was.
And that's the one I really want to play right now, and I wish Game Pass would hurry up and add it so I don't get tempted into buying that whole trilogy again. But Game Pass did announce they're adding Final Fantasy 9, like, within days. Like, it's the early first half of this month. So it's if they didn't add it, like now, it's within the next couple days, Final Fantasy IX is getting added. So that's pretty cool. And there's no HD. So I think Final Fantasy IX will be a little easier to stomach because you're not going to have the clash going on of HD on top of not HD. It's all going to be non-HD, and I think it'll be a little more palatable.
May have to check it out on PC. I wonder if I own it. I think I have 7.
I think Alan owns it, so I need to do that whole library lending thing. I don't know. Anyway. There it is. There was my gaming week. Oh, boy. I just SG-100 Matt just clipped. Oh, boy. I'm going to be in so much trouble. Sorry. Again, please don't hate. Unsubscribe. We love you. We value all the opinions. I see you, Final Fantasy VIII fans. And again, I'm going to give you this cookie. I recognize that the story in Final Fantasy VIII is pretty good. And, like, my problem has always been with just the game part of the game. Like, I hated the drawing junctioning. I hated that everything leveled up with you. Those were all the things that, like, bothered me about the game originally. Like, it's not the story. So let's just make that clear. All right. I find people are willing to let it slide a little more when I give that little disclaimer. All right. Let's get into some gaming news and what's been going on in the world this week. Loki, help change the topic.
Okay. So let's talk a little bit about leaks. So apparently there was this giant Nintendo leak that happened. So lots of different things leaked out. And a lot of it was surrounding the Nintendo Wii. And so they had stuff like with old Pokemon debug ROMs and source code, 3DS debug ROMs, the keys for all the consoles. So those are all the encrypted keys to get access to some of the you know, to be able to sign your own code almost on everything up through the DSi. Then, of course, full source code, design files, documentation, and everything basically used to create the Wii. So full source code for the operating system, which I thought was weird. It's actually called iOS. So with that, I mean, this thing's going to be hacked. I mean, it already is hacked to pieces, but now, I mean, they could do some really crazy stuff with that.
I want to read something. Can I read something from the Discord? So we have a Discord, of course, and we encourage you to join over at vognetwork.com/Discord. And sometimes you guys post stories throughout the week, and we use some of those stories in planning. Or you leave a comment that sticks in my mind of, oh, I need to mention that on the show. So we had a comment on this from 13 Forever in chat, on Discord, who sent us a tweet. So the first thing was a tweet that says, and the tweet is from an account, Markan42, that says, people love to get all excited about leaks of official SDKs or code, but really, rarely are they all that amazing. Early on in development of homebrew for a console, they can help make things move much faster, but at the expense of legally tainting everything they touch. And then 13 leaves the comment, that leak is overblown and misreported.
Yes. So, like, for example, folks were thinking, well, with this, you know, you could have better emulation or whatever, but not necessarily, because if you use the exact code or whatever that's in that for emulation, then they can shut you down because you're basically using pirated code. But not to say that you couldn't, like, glean some information, like if you're having trouble with a certain thing or rendering a certain, you know, part of a game or maybe like sound design or whatever the case may be, where you've tried and tried with the emulator but just can't seem to crack what it is or how it runs or something, you might be able to look at that code and understand what you're doing wrong. without actually using the direct code. Not to say that there wouldn't be some unscrupulous folks that may be able to like clone the Wii system, or I don't even know what they could be done with it, but it's still very interesting to see, you know, some of this data that's come out and some of the cool like little tech demos and whatnot that they had put together with that from like the GameCube and everything.
And by the way, there's echoing comments in the chat about what basically what you just said is that, you know, as much as it sounds like this is really exciting stuff for emulators, it would actually damage them to use this code.
Yeah, like even the folks, I think, with Dolphin or whatever, they said that, yeah, we're not even going to look at that. We can't look at that. We're not even going to, you know, we're going to pretend it doesn't exist type of thing.
I think the reason why a story like this catches fire is that, for one, the Wii was – remember how, like – crazy popular the Wii was, right? And I think it's just that element of teehee, I'm seeing something I'm not supposed to see, hee-hee. I think that's the reason why this stuff spreads like wildfire, is like, don't look at that. What? Right?
Yeah,
like, everybody wants to see it.
Let's just, like, you know, if assuming that they have like all this stuff out there, obviously, like, you're not going to see emulator teams or whatever using this data, or they probably wouldn't be using this data. But who's to say that you couldn't, like, someone couldn't fork one of those emulators or whatever and start incorporating that code, or somehow to do it, you know, under the radar or whatever. Or, you know, you have some unscrupulous folks developing, you know, mod chips or something into these where they could bypass something or learn how to sign code a certain way. And you could, I don't know what you could do with it. Not for me to really say, because I don't know how to do any of this stuff, so we'll have to see what happens with it. And the thought is that there may actually be more data that's out there that hasn't been leaked yet, that this is only a portion of it. So I'm curious to see what happens.
Bonds 006 asks, will we get an explosion of homebrew from this? And I'm kind of like, I don't see it being more or less than what's already being made, right? We already had a lot of homebrew, because remember there was that whole installing the homebrew channel on your Wii? Remember that whole thing so you could run like homebrew software? Like, that was all still big when the Wii was still like a current piece of hardware. So I don't see it exploding now.
Well, like, here's my thought. Well, with this, like, could it be possible for somebody to, like, say, you know how we have right now where folks can create their own NES cartridges or something like that? They're able to build it so it can actually run on the real hardware. Could maybe someone homebrew a Wii game and build it so that it can run on the actual hardware and be able to sign it correctly so that the system thinks it's, you know, an actual legit copy of a, you know, disc or something like that? Or I don't know what you could really do with it.
In theory, yes, although you're going to hit that same problem where Nintendo is going to pursue it and shut it down. However, this does make we're all quick to kind of say Nintendo will sue it, Nintendo will shut it down. What if it comes from a country where they don't give a shit about copyright? That's a serious question. What happens if it comes from a country that doesn't give a shit about copyright? Then it's a little harder. That argument becomes a little more complex.
Yeah.
I mean, if they try to sell it here, then it's happening here. But could this open up things in other countries? I don't know. It's a really hard question to take on. I also kind of think it maybe is a lot of work. It's kind of one of those, like, lots of work. Maybe, I don't know. I feel like most things that would exist for homebrew development, emulation on the Wii, have probably happened. Although, sure, the emulation can always get better and it can get stronger, but the reputable, respectable teams are not going to be diving into this because they know they can't.
Yeah.
No.
One of the things that was interesting that was also leaked out of it was the official Game Boy emulator. So I'm assuming this is what was running on like a DS or something like that to run. Or maybe, I don't know if it was necessarily a DS. I can't remember where they had like Game Boy.
No, the original DS ran it ran Advantage games. Did it run the Advantage ran Game Boy Color games.
Yeah, but did it have Game Boy hardware in it? Like, it had, like, the same chip on there? Or I don't know. Was that actually emulated?
Can you look at the documents and tell me?
Okay, let me just find the documents. I have to download all 3 gigs of that from wherever it is, somewhere out there. Oh, yeah, you'll find it easily on 4chan. Well, that's going to be a fun journey. Yeah, I don't think I'll be doing that.
Yeah, the needle is in the haystack, but just so you know, the haystack is full of bees. Like,
yeah. So anyways, so where this actually came from, since, you know, we didn't really discuss that, is it was coming from Broadon, which is or at least that's where the thought it where they came from. So Broadon was a company that was in, I believe, China that was developed. They developed the IQ system, which I think that was that GameCube.
Was that the Panasonic
DVD player?
The Panasonic Q, that one?
No, it was called the IQ.
No, you're right. I think Jamie's highlighted that on the show like a long time ago. But yes, I know what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so apparently the thought is that's where this is from. Although, why would the source code for like Pokemon games be in there, or the Wii operating system and stuff? I wouldn't think this would be something that would be a part of that, but I don't know.
Maybe they were working on a Wii device or something. Who knows? Who knows?
Maybe. Who knows?
All right. Well,
it's interesting. Let's see what smarter minds will do with it.
Yeah. Well, or not, because they can't. It's just one of those. That's interesting. Okay. Yeah. So I totally get the perspective of the comment in Discord. That's kind of like people are making this a much bigger deal than it is. And I think it's just one of those. We're seeing something we're not supposed to see. It's insider information. But there's going to be people that download it that have no idea like what to even do with it. You know what I mean? They're going to download it just because they're told they're not supposed to have it. And that's why this story is catching everywhere. Here, something you're not supposed to have is on the parts of the internet you rarely visit. All right. Anyway, let's move on and talk about some other news. This is one of those. This is a bummer, but is anyone really surprised? The 2020 Tokyo Game Show has been canceled this year. And of course, as you can imagine, it's because of the COVID-19 pandemic. So it will not be happening this year, and it will be replaced with an online showcase. An official statement from Tokyo Game Show says, due to the outbreak of novel coronavirus or COVID-19 on a global scale, and the situation remains unpredictable in Japan as well, the organizer and the co-organizers have reached this decision after a long consideration to place the utmost priority on the health and safety of visitors, exhibitors, and stakeholders. We ask for your kind understanding and cooperation. And again, I don't think anyone's really surprised by this. Some people may be surprised, like, isn't it a little early for this to cancel? Like, we still have things like, you know, the talk has been going on about things around Labor Day weekend, like Dragon Con, you know, still haven't canceled. And we've already gotten into those reasons and so forth, and the legal stuff behind it. And, you know, Bobby took a deep dive on that if you want to hear all that. But I think also the reality is with something like Tokyo Game Show, you know, you have all these exhibitors and they've got to prepare things. They've got to plan their booths. They've got to plan, you know, all these things that go into it. And if they kind of know, like, all right, big events are not going to be happening for the rest of the year. Like, you know, all of the scientists are telling us this and everything's kind of pointing to that. Then why have people waste their energy this far out in planning their demos, planning their booths, planning all that stuff to something that they just know is not going to happen? And I think that's why it cancels this far out. So pretty much I would just expect at this point that any 2020 convention just ain't happening. I'm going to cross my fingers until I'm still hoping for a miracle. I'm still hoping DragonCon can happen. I'm an idiot. And the reason why, you know, I'm like, well, you know, it took us a couple months. Look, like, go 2 months ago to where we were at then. That was right when this whole thing was starting. So 2 months from now is going to be July. And who knows where we're going to be by then. You know, yes, I listen to science. Yes, I know a lot of the news isn't good. So sue me if I want to be a little bit optimistic. All right. Give me something, because I'm getting fucking sick of being at home, too, just like everybody else. And yes, I'll do it. And yes, I understand the importance of it. No, I'm not going to be down there protesting that I want my hair cut, because I understand that something, you know, I have a dad who's 80 years old. I need to make sure he's okay. So I'm doing my part and everything. But, you know, it's just one of those, like, I wish it would happen, but I'm accepting the reality. It's probably not. And so that goes with pretty much any of the big game shows, any of the big conventions and so forth. So we have to start seeing now if some of this starts to dip into 2021. What happens with stuff in January, like MAGFest and so forth? Who knows? Who knows?
Yeah.
It's just, I think it really is too early to say at this point, but maybe some of that will start getting evaluated over the summer and things like that. So, anyway, you know, it's not particularly surprising to hear it gets canceled. It'll be interesting to see what they do in the virtual space. Now we know it's going to be a virtual convention. So what is that going to look like? Is it something you're going to have to pay to access to see trailers and maybe play some demos online or something? I don't know. Or what is it going to be? Or is it just going to be a drip feeding of trailers or something like that? Who knows? More to come, I suppose. So let's move on to our next story, Loki.
All right. So Roblox has had a user breach. Basically, what happened was is there was this a hacker that bribed one of the Roblox, I guess, employees to gain access to their back-end customer support panel. And apparently using that, they were able to take hold and gain access to some of the more prominent Roblox players that are out there, if there's such a thing. And they were able to do things as, you know, see the user's email addresses, change passwords, remove two-factor authentication from the accounts, ban users, and more. Apparently, there was some folks on there that, you know, some of these, you know, high, more popular, like, streamers or whatever that had private emails that were tied to that, and they were getting contacted by this guy as well to, you know, basically he was bragging that he had their account or something. So it's interesting that they let this happen. Apparently, it was a small set of users that had this happen to them, but still kind of ridiculous that it was somebody that basically fished their way into the system. But apparently, those folks that did have their accounts compromised were contacted. Hopefully not by the hacker.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of funny because I don't know if you kind of brushed Roblox off there at the beginning, but Roblox is huge online.
No, I understand it. My kids play it all the time.
Okay, okay. Yeah, more of a tween audience, I suppose, mostly.
It's one of the games that's coming to the Xbox Series X, so I see. it's going to fully... I've seen the thing is with Roblox is a lot of it's all user generated content.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of it's just plain trash. There are some things that are popular. Like my son keeps talking about this horror game series that he plays that's called Piggy, and that there's like 21 chapters of or something. And he says it's very much like Granny. I'm like, none of this means anything to me right now. So
I'm like, is this what I sounded like when I was his age and talking about Nickelodeon shows to my mom? Like, is that what this is all about?
Well, no. I would be, you know, able to like keep up with all that stuff. It's not like I'm getting old. It's just it's a stupid. I get it. He's into it, but like, I'm not going to pay attention to every single like obstacle course game that he plays or something. But he's, you know, very interested in like this. Streamers that he watches that play, and then he goes and plays with them or something like that. Like, they'll do a live stream, and so I don't know, but like, yeah, I know it's a very popular game. It's also full of just all sorts of copyright, IP theft, trademark infringement. It's all over the place.
Yeah,
just
that's
absolute not
user generated content. What do you expect?
Yeah, but they just don't seem to police any of that.
All right. Let's move on and talk about another announcement this week, which I guess was supposed to be like one of the first summer game. I even forgot the name of that thing already. Summer Game Fest. Is that what they're calling it? The 4 months.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think this was supposed to be one of those announcements, but it was all over the Twitter by within 5 seconds of it being announced. And that has to do with Mortal Kombat 11 getting an expansion pack called Aftermath. It is going to add to the story, and it's going to add some new characters to the game, including Fujin, who I believe was originally in Mortal Kombat 4, right? He's like the air god, right? And then you have Shiva. That's pretty cool. Shiva was the like Goro, the female Goro in Mortal Kombat 3. Remember that?
Yeah.
So she's in that too. And then RoboCop. Because Mortal Kombat 11 has become this very interesting, like, Hollywood versus video games type of thing. And RoboCop is going to be in it. And Ed Boon, in a tweet, confirmed Peter Weller is voicing RoboCop.
That's pretty awesome.
Yes, that is pretty cool. Like, don't get me wrong. It's just like random. Like, well, because what? We have the Terminator, right? Is in one of the, it was in 11. Yeah. I'm trying to remember who's in 10 and who's in 11, because it's different.
Well, I know 11 has like Spawn and there's a Terminator, the Joker.
Oh, right, the Joker. See, and then like some of them like had like Freddy and Jason, and but that was
I think that was 10.
That was or even all the way back to 9. I think Freddy was in 9.
Or, those weren't Injustice. Yeah. So it was Predator in this one? I don't remember.
Predator was in the last one.
As in the last one. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Thank you. SG100 Matt laying it out for me. Thank you. I needed something very plain text there. Leatherface, Freddy, Jason, Alien, Predator were in the last games. Thank you. And Freddy was also in 9. And Tiger Claw saying, we now have a RoboCop versus Terminator in a fighting game. Yes, we do. Those comments from our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/VogNetwork. This is all coming out on May 26th. So the expansion will have the cinematic story, the new characters, and new skins, 3 new skins, for $39.99.
Yeah, it's too expensive.
There is also an Aftermath collection, which includes the base game, the combat pack downloadable content, and now the Aftermath expansion will be available digitally and also physically in June for the $59.99 kind of more traditional price tag.
Yeah, we'll always wait for the Game of the Year edition. But yeah. So I think that should be like $29.99 at most. Like, that's ridiculous because you're basically saying that you have folks that paid $60, then they paid for that expansion pack to get the extra characters or whatever, and now you have them paying again, like another $140 or whatever. Was it like $120 for that game? I mean, come on.
I'm gonna give two sides to this. Yeah, I do agree $30 is a little expensive for me, but for the more like hardcore Mortal Kombat fans, I know the story in that game has typically been very well done, so I think for a story expansion, some people may see the value in that. But I'm also of the mindset, like, for me personally, I'm like, by the holidays, this is cheaper.
But, like, sure. I'm even saying, like, $29.99, that's including the story. I would say, like, if we're going to just forego the story thing, maybe $19.99. Mm. Like, I still think that's ridiculous for 3 characters. I mean, come on. I did like that they added the friendships and the arena fatalities, yeah, which are pretty cool.
I was going to say that part is free. So there's a free update coming at the same time, and it will add new stages, including the classic Deadpool. Of course, it has a K. The Soul Chamber. There will be new stage fatalities. If you're putting the classic Deadpool in there, of course, you got to have the stage fatality. And friendships are coming back. And that's exciting. Like, there was the one, a scorpion. He goes, get over here. And it's a big teddy bear that he hugs. And then Kano had one where he was starting a barbecue with his eye laser, and he's barbecuing. And then I saw one for Sub-Zero where it was an ice cream cart or something like that. Or no, it was the nitrogen frozen thing, because that's all the rage, right? It was that. So, and it's funny because it's Sub-Zero. So yeah. Anyway, I thought that was all pretty funny. So, yeah, and that actually, the funny thing is, that kind of stuff makes me want to play these newer Mortal Kombat games, because I don't care for, like, these fatalities are getting to be a little much. Like, it was funny when it was comical, when it was, like, itchy and scratchy level stuff, like Mortal Kombat 2 on the Super Nintendo, that was fine. Now, I'm like, this is a little too real for me, but if I can just friendship everybody, I'm fine with that. So, I might actually be okay with this now that I can friendship everybody. Oh, yes, that's right. Thank you, Johnny Wufei points out another one. Noob was playing jump rope with his shadows. Yeah, that was really funny, too. So I'm all about the friendships. I think they're great. So, all right, let's move on. Loki, what do you got for us?
All right. So we have a few companies swapping their IPs. Basically, we've got THQ Nordic and Koch Media. Kind of shuffling around some of that stuff, according to, I believe, what Bobby was saying earlier, that it's because the developer behind those games actually has moved companies or is owned. I guess it says they're both owned by the same parent company, Embracer Group. So some of the stuff that's shifted around, and I really don't know what this means necessarily for games coming out, but you've got Red Faction and Painkiller going to... THQ Nordic, and then you've got, looks like Sacred Risen, Rush for Berlin, Second Sight, and Singles Flirt Up Your Life. So those are THQ Nordic is getting those last 4, and apparently Koch Media is getting Red Faction and Painkiller. all these games we have not seen games for in a while. So,
yeah, kind of interesting that these games might kind of get a new life through it. And also, didn't we, I mean, like THQ Nordic, like another, I can't remember how this has all been passed down, but it was another company completely that then bought the THQ name and is now like getting the THQ licenses back that were with this other company, right? Isn't that like element to this? Yeah.
So the basically one of the cool parts about it is apparently
these
Red
guys,
Faction is now back in control.
Nordic
of
Games. I've had this like thing, this USB thing from an E3 with like demos from like the last E3 I went to, which was years ago. It's Nordic Games. It's THQ now.
But now Red Faction's basically with Volition now. So, you know, the original developers. So I'm all for a new Red Faction game.
Yeah. Questbuster in chat says, I want a new Red Faction along the lines of Guerrilla. So. SG100 Matt says,
all these, and I still have not played any of them.
It's that player that gets put in the trade to be waived afterwards. They're not going to make that game, which I imagine is the whatever that crazy title was you said there at the end. So it's the throwaway one they put in there to just make it a little more value.
The singles flirting up your life. That sounds one, like a mobile game for me, but
yeah, I may, yeah. You know what, maybe that's where it ends up. It's a shitty mobile title. Maybe makes a few bucks. Fine, whatever. But they probably won't do much with it otherwise. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, moving on to something that's been getting some kind of like bigger headlines than just in gaming blogs. And that has to do with the absence of Nintendo games. And the reason why I think it's picked up a lot of steam on other news blogs and you're seeing more mainstream coverage of it is because Animal Crossing is such a cuckoo bananas meme game right now at this point. Like, you know, so many people are playing it that... A lot of people are asking, well, what's next for Nintendo? How is Nintendo going to follow up Animal Crossing? And the answer is, we don't really know. Like, we know they're working on a Breath of the Wild 2. We don't know when it's coming out. We know that Xenoblade Chronicles, the remaster, and that's going to be awesome. I'm excited about that. That's something that's going to happen by the end of the month. But we don't know, like, exactly when. Thank you. Alan's putting coffee down. He knows I need it. Thank you. All right. So we don't know like when this is happening. So what is Nintendo's plan over the next, you know, little while? So there was a Nintendo investor Q&A session and some tweets that relay what CEO Shuntaro Furukawa said during this event says that there are other undisclosed titles set to be released this year. Hello, we all kind of knew that, right? They usually announce things for the holidays in June. Right. I don't think this is a huge surprise, but... The coronavirus pandemic could impact development as developers are currently working from home. Here's a series of tweets from the account Cephazon, Cephazon, talking about the relaying from the Nintendo Q&A session. Nintendo President and CEO Shuntaro Furukawa says that although the Chinese factory suspended shipments of Nintendo Switches in February, Japan faced delays in putting new units on shelves. However, the impact on overall business has been minor so far. He mentions there are other titles they plan to release this year in addition to those already announced. However, it may be difficult to finish development during the current situation as employees are working from home. Their forecast assumes they will release as planned. So that could make the E3 Direct, or whatever you want to call it, it could make it very interesting, right? Because they may announce games and not tell us when they're coming. And I think that should be something we're fully ready for. Like, they're going to announce games, but they're not going to say, oh, holiday this year, or, oh, it's not happening, or it's you know, quarter one next year. I think they're just going to say, coming soon. Unless it's a game that, like, already is, like, damn near done. Like, maybe they had some games that are in, like, it's going to be out today type of status. Then maybe those games will come out. But I don't know. We'll see. So anyway, there you go. Nintendo, yes, they're working on new games. Of course they are. They were probably going to announce them in June, but this whole situation has screwed everything up. So there you go. In the meantime, please look forward to more Animal Crossing. All right. let's go back to a classic time and take a step back a little bit. Let's go back to a time when there was no pandemic. Let's go back 10 years or more and visit a classic game of the week. Every week, typically Dark Sakura will step into the gaming vault and find a game that she thinks, hey, you guys should check this game out this week. Obviously, as we know, Dark Sakura is dealing with some more important things this week, so she can't be here to pick the game. And last week, we had Alan pick the game for us, which was really cool. This week, Loki, it's been a while since we've heard from you and had you pick a game in Jamie's absence. I think it's your turn to pick the classic game of the week. So what are you going to pick for us tonight?
So my pick this week is Duke Nukem 3D.
Good pick. I'm kind of surprised we haven't picked this before. I'm so shocked. Yeah,
I was surprised as well.
Well, there it is.
So Duke Nukem 3D was released on PC January 29th, 1996 as shareware. And then, of course, the full version of the game came out later on April 19th. Yes, shareware. Love that stuff. Of course, there was three campaigns that were included with that, but later on they released a plutonium pack, which is an expansion to the game that added a fourth campaign as well and some additional things to that. So, of course, the shareware version of the game, you had the first original episode, which was episode one, LA Meltdown, and then, of course, episode two, Lunar Apocalypse, that was in the full version, and then episode three, Shrapnel City, and then in the Atomic Edition, they had episode four, Birth. And then one of the things about Duke Nukem was it was pretty cutting edge for the game engine. So it was built off of this Build 3D engine, which was developed from 3D Realms, and it could do a lot of things that like Doom couldn't do necessarily. So it added a lot of new gameplay features to it. One of the things, though, with Duke Nukem, because originally Duke Nukem was this old side-scrolling kind of action game, side-scrolling platform game. So they, of course, you know, brought it out kind of this ultra-violent, crass game. And so, of course, it got in trouble with some of the retailers out there for, you know, having, you know, pixelated strippers in there, or just, you know, poop jokes and bad language and all that kind of stuff. Of course, one of the main selling points of Duke Nukem is John St. John, who voices Duke Nukem himself. And really, I mean, I played a ton of this. Just, I remember I owned the game, the full version of it, then I was building levels for it, because you could actually use, there was a level editor that was, I think, included with the game, and you could go in there and like build your own levels out and actually play them in game and play them even in multiplayer, which it was one of the first games to offer multiplayer over the internet, which is pretty cool. Of course, we always used to do it through LAN, and yeah, so lots of cool stuff. Some of the other fun things about Duke Nukem was all the different expansion packs you could buy. So this was the kind of thing you would see, you know, in your Babbages or Software, et cetera, whatever. They would have all these expansion packs where folks would create brand new campaigns that would either total conversion the game or just add to it. So they had Duke's Caribbean, Life's a Beach, Duke Nuclear Winter. I think I had Duke It Out in D.C., and there was a Duke Nukem's Penthouse Paradise, stuff like that. Of course, each campaign of the actual game had a lot of parodies of different pop culture things. So, of course, you know, with the Atomic Edition, I remember there was a level in there that was very much Babeland, which is just like Disneyland. So they even had like a Pirates of the Caribbean ride and stuff like that. Of course, you know, there's pig cops everywhere. There's lots of different lines in the game that were drawn from, like, Aliens, Dirty Harry, Evil Dead 2, Full Metal Jacket, Jaws, Pulp Fiction, and They Live. There's all sorts of parodies for, like, Shawshank Redemption, 2001 A Space Odyssey. I mean, it was just full of pop culture references, and even some that are kind of dated nowadays, like they have the Exxon Valdez in there, which no one remembers that. But yeah, and then of course, even more recently, we just got an episode 5, Alien World Order, and that was with the 20th anniversary world tour that was just released. And of course, Duke Nukem's been released so many times. Different console ports. Of course, you had it on the Sega Saturn. You had Total Meltdown on PlayStation, Duke Nukem 64. There was Duke Nukem on 3 on the Xbox. It's been on mobile phones, on the Nokia, PlayStation. You know, it's been everywhere. And then, of course, they even had some source ports that came out later on. So that's where you get the E-Duke and then some other enhancements with that. So it's still pretty... I think there's still quite a bit of content being put out for there. And thank God it's actually a pretty great game, unlike Duke Nukem Forever. But I don't know. That's why it's my classic game of the week, and definitely well-deserved, I think.
No, this is a very good pick, and it is deserved. I played a shitload of this in college. I know I've told this story on the show before. Humor me, I'm going to tell it one more time, of many. I played this game in the college dorms a lot in college, and because we were all in the dorms, every room had their own phone line, and everything was connected on the internet via phone back then. So I remember I would play this game, and then my neighbor, who was also a bit of a computer nerd, would sign on and play this game. We would call each other on the dial-up, and we would play Versus. And the other guys in the dorm used to love to, like, they would run into one room and see where I'm at, and then go run in there and tell them where I'm at, and then they do the same thing, like vice versa. So it was kind of like a LAN thing, actually, in a weird way, but in the dorm setting, which, as you know, is like very, you know, compact and tight. Those dorm rooms are very small. So, I have a lot of fond memories of playing this game as a result. And then, of course, with all the level editors, you know, this was the first Mario Maker of sorts, if you will, for some people, was kind of like making their own Duke Nukem levels. Wolfenstein and Doom kind of went through a similar thing. So it's kind of like all these games around the same time, you know?
Yeah, and I had actually made some, like I said, some levels in it as well. One of the levels that I made that was kind of ridiculous was this whole, I think I made like this like flooded city thing, and I remember there was one that I made also that was like a big water slide that just looped around. And so one of the things you could do in the game is raise and lower floors with like the page up, page down keys. There's no limit to how long you can lower that floor.
Yeah.
So I put a paperweight on the page down, and I went and had lunch for an hour and came back, and it had like a 15 minute drop in the game, which is hilarious.
That's amazing.
So yeah, good times.
There you go. There it is, your classic game of the week, Duke Nukem, which you can easily check out on like Steam. Like, you know, there's a
Google Games has it as well. Yeah. I mean, there's all sorts of editions that are out there. It's always on sale. I think there's still a lot of people even making modded levels and stuff today. And I'm pretty sure there's probably some more fancier versions of Duke Nukem that people have modded in. Like, I won't be surprised when I see ray tracing in Duke Nukem 3. So,
Bonds006 in chat says, LOL, so Rob invented LAN in college. No, I didn't invent. I'm not like trying to say I invented the internet. I said it was like LAN. And VG Realness says, well, she is that old, so it's possible. Rude. Rude as hell. You didn't have to do that. Let's see. SG100 Matt says, someone made a Duke Nukem level of the dorm floors at school that became a local Fox News angry parent segment. Oh, no. I see it, though. I feel like I tried to recreate a building I knew in one of those games,
I tried
too.
We tried to recreate our neighborhood, too, at one point. But it's hard to – one of the limitations that you had with the build engine is you can't have – and this may have been just in the initial like build stuff, so Duke Nukem era, not necessarily in some of the other games that they made with that. But you couldn't have floors above floors, and so you couldn't really create like a two-story house or something like that. You had to have it just solid floors. And there's like tricks you could do to kind of like get around some of that stuff, but it was kind of limiting what you could do with it. Now there's further games that made use of the build engine and enhanced it. So like, I remember Redneck Rampage was one that I played a lot of, and there was some other games that they used that as well that added more features to it. That's why you have these newer versions of like Duke Nukem or whatever that utilize these more updated build engines to add a whole lot of features that weren't in the original game in the first place.
All right. Lots of, yeah, it's just the way people have expanded on this game over the years, and it's still kind of relevant in many ways. It's just, yeah, it's a true classic. Yeah. I'm glad you picked it. Good job. All right, and even if Dark Soccer isn't a big fan of first-person shooters, I feel like she can recognize that this is something that is deserving. Hey, at least it's not Halo. There's that. All right, let's move on. We have some rapid-fire news, some other things to talk about quickly, and then we'll get back into some more news. Lots more news to talk about, and get your comments in our in our chat room over at twitch.tv/VOGNetwork before the night is over. Let's get to the rapid fire news, Loki.
So whereas we had Elijah Wood visiting folks in Animal Crossing last week, now we have Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez visiting folks in Animal Crossing as well. Lots of people are getting around in Animal Crossing. So that was something that she had posted on Twitter, and there's some screenshots of people, you know, having her visit their town and stuff like that. So that's kind of fun. Lots of creative stuff I've been seeing with Animal Crossing as well. Just, you know, folks, even like we had like, you know, sports teams, like advertising things that were using Animal Crossing for like almost like little skits and stuff. So I saw something with like our local Sacramento Kings team, and there was one for I can't remember which baseball team it was, but yeah, good stuff that they have lots of folks out there.
Something else to consider about AOC, and you know, I realize she's a very polarizing political figure, whatever, but the thing to remember about politicians, they really are just like us. And you know, with AOC, she likes Drag Race, she likes video games like Animal Crossing. She's not that different from a lot of people her age that, you know, I think we know. And I know, again, I've told this story on the show before, and I probably don't need to tell it again, but I used to date a politician that ran for office, and trust me, if there's one thing I learned from that relationship, any idiot can run for office. Okay. So, you know, it's, even though it's kind of one of those things where it's like, ooh, a politician is playing Animal Crossing, they're real people. You know, same thing with the celebrities, with like Elijah Wood, they're real people. They're all locked up at home too.
So here's something that's pretty great that I saw that someone had offered her to do on there. And I don't know if she took him up on that, but apparently someone has talk show that they set up in Animal Crossing called Animal Talking.
And they've actually
built like a talk show set and stuff like that. And they do like interviews or whatever over, you know, whatever voice chat that they have in there. But I thought that was kind of cute.
That's a cute idea. Yeah. Anyway.
Right, and then let's see. So aside from Animal Crossing news, of course, you know, I'm big into the Lego games. And so it leaked out that the Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga will be coming out October 20th. And that was thanks to a Disney YouTube channel video that they had for the game. Although it did get pulled, so I don't know if they were jumping the gun on announcing that. But apparently, you know, it is coming out this year. So I wouldn't be surprised to see it sometime this fall.
Well, but there's no Star Wars movie this year, right?
No. And this is basically kind of a culmination of like all of the whole 9 movies.
Okay, I gotcha. All right. Well, moving on to some other news. We have some new modes for Bloodstained Ritual of the Night, the game that is not Castlevania Symphony of the Night, but it does have some similarities, doesn't it? There's going to be a big update for Bloodstained coming to the Switch in May or June, and I imagine it's coming to other platforms around the same time as well. The dev team has said they're looking into locking a release date for this update, and once it's confirmed, they'll have it out there. The details for what's in the update: Zangetsu will become a playable character, and that's going to be a little bit different because it's, you know, Zangetsu will not have the same type of movement and combat abilities that Miriam has, so it'll be using a sword, so it'll play a little differently. But then this other mode sounds pretty cool, a randomizer mode. So they're actually going to build an official randomizer into the game where you can adjust 8 different parameters of the game to mix up the experience. You can mix up save and warp rooms, shops, key items, enemy drops. That's going to be very interesting, and I think we'll make for all sorts of fun speed runs for that. So very cool. And speaking of Switch things coming to other consoles, a PlayStation 4 version of Blaster Master Zero 2 has apparently been looked at and or has apparently been spotted on the PlayStation Store, like a placeholder for it. So that has not officially been announced by the developer, but it's been about a year. Again, this is Blaster Master Zero 2. So remember, they like redid Blaster Master on the Switch, and then they did a Blaster. They did a sequel to the remake, basically. And it's
yeah,
it's
I remember
pretty,
that.
It's pretty
I think
good.
I own yeah. that or something. Yeah. I own one of them.
They did a very good job of those games. Like I hope more people get to play them. So they came out on PC in Steam in November. It was on the Switch in March, and now apparently going to be on its way to. PlayStation 4 as well. I wonder if the original will come with it, because I don't think the original is on PC, and the original was on 3DS as well. I don't think the original was on, but I could be wrong. I don't think the original was on PlayStation Store. So it'll be interesting to see if it kind of comes in like a combo pack or something. We'll see. So there you go. Some rapid fire news. Let's travel around the world and look at some world release dates or lack thereof.
I have quite a few, actually. So let's
okay,
see.
Good.
Got Star Wars 1 Racer, and that's coming out on Nintendo Switch. We have Deep Rock Galactic on PC and Xbox One. Super Mega Baseball 3 on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. And I swear to God, I didn't even plan the classic game of the week to go along with this, but it, I guess the timing is great. So coming from 3D Realms, Ion Fury on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. This game also uses the build engine that was used in Duke Nukem 3D, of course, now 20 years later and even more enhanced, but still in that same style of Duke Nukem 3D. We have Hatsune Miku Project Diva Mega Mix on Nintendo Switch, and that's it.
What timing on that? Very good. All right.
I know.
Going to Japan, which, by the way, interesting comment on Discord that sheds a lot of light, because last week I was kind of like, well, the Japanese releases have kind of dried up. There's not a lot coming out. It was pointed out that the Japanese rating board, remember we talked about a couple weeks ago on the show, I think it was like the ESRB was working from home or something, but the Japanese one, the CERO, they closed down for a little bit. So that's why we haven't had as many Japanese. They can't rate the games. So that's why we haven't seen as many things. And I would have thought, oh, well, maybe they rated them way out in advance. But it doesn't always happen that way. So thank you. That was a very good call out on Discord. But we do have a few things that snuck through. This one, probably because it's a repackaging, maybe. They didn't have to re-rate it. I don't know. But it's the Dragon Quest X or Dragon Quest 10 all-in-one package. Versions 1 through 5 will come out on the Switch this week on May 14th. So that's kind of like a repackaging. And, of course, that is also coming out on the PlayStation 4. One other minor release this week, AO Tennis 2 on the PlayStation 4. The AO does not mean adults only. Sorry. That's just the name of it. And I'm not sure the company behind this, but it is like it's a real – it's like a realistic tennis simulator game is
very
basically what
disappointed.
It is. Yeah, no, it is not adults only. Sorry about that, but it looks very realistic, you know, as far as like tennis sims go. So that's pretty cool. That's it for Japanese releases and an explanation why we're probably seeing a lot less of them. How about the UK, all Loki? Right. Anything?
Not much. We've got Budget Cuts coming out on PlayStation VR, The Persistence on PlayStation 4, and also, I'm sorry, we have Persistence on Xbox One and Nintendo Switch as well. And that's it.
All righty. Well, let's get to the mailbag, because every week we read your guys' emails. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send those emails, and we will read them on the show. Of course, usually I should have these emails up in advance, but I didn't do that tonight because I'm an idiot. Oh, boy. Now it's telling me the password's invalid. Hold on. Oh, fuck. I know I'm getting it right. Uh-oh. Help me buy time, Loki.
All right.
What are you looking forward to in Iron Maiden?
Well, I'm just curious to see what the game looks like. I'm getting confused. There's another one that's also kind of like a retro shooter that's basically the simple pixelized sprites and everything, but they have like advanced lighting with it. I can't remember if that was Iron Maiden or another one. I think that's a different one. I want to kind of check it out. I need to go back and just play like Duke Nukem and stuff like that. I think when I used to play those originally, I used like the old Gravis pads. I never really got into like keyboard mouse with that stuff, but I don't know. I'll have to check out and see how that game is, and hopefully it's not too expensive. But
great job buying time, Loki. I got it. All right, good. Thank you. All right, here we go. First email tonight from Robert M., who emailed us at participate@orangelaundry.com to say, little disappointed, but understand the circumstances that we didn't get to hear Jamie reacting to the release of the Neo Geo Pocket Color game SNK Gauss Fighters on the Switch. Got me to dig out my old unit and change the batteries for the first time in over 15 years. Here's hoping for Match of the Millennium. Well, unfortunately, you know, with what I said earlier in the show, it probably will be a little bit before Darkstalker gets to it. But we will make sure to pass along the message and ask her if she's even, she may not even be aware that it came out on Switch, but she would probably also go, well, I could just go play the real thing. So maybe she did this week. You did remind me, though, my Neo Geo Mini. Yeah, I didn't get around to even using it yet because now I want to order one of the controllers. Because I don't want to have to play with the tiny little joystick that it came with. It doesn't work. I don't think Gauss Fighters is on it, though, sadly.
Mm.
But thank you for the reminder that it came out on the Switch. All right. One more email tonight from YYR, our pal YYR. Hello, LR. When Rob mentioned trying Streets of Rage 4 on last week's show, he mentioned that the game had online co-op for the first time in the series. Well, actually, I'm just going to mention the excellent Sega Vintage Collection Streets of Rage that released on Xbox 360 back in 2012. Yeah, I forgot about it. Sorry. Developed by M2, it features both the international and Japanese releases of all three games in the original trilogy and also features online co-op in all three games. Plus, it has a music player, a challenge mode, leaderboards, and all the trimmings you'd find in similar collections. Best of all, it's backwards compatible on Xbox One and only costs $10. So you can enjoy it right now and there's no need to wait for a sale. Anyways, thanks for the show issue. And it's fine, even though I'm rolling my eyes a little bit at this well actually-ing that I'm being explained to right now. It's fine. I did forget about the release. And the minute you kind of like said it, I'm like, oh yeah, I even played that fucking game. And I totally forgot. So it's fine. I never did online in it. So that's what caused me to forget. Anyway, but good call out. Thanks for the show as usual. I'm sure that I can speak for many of the listeners when I say that we're looking for distractions nowadays. Thank you for helping provide a diversion for a few hours every week from the near constant stream of bad news. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Warm regards and well wishes, YYR. Well, thank you for that very kind comment there at the end. We're happy to do so. It gives me something to look forward to do as well. So it's like, and it's nice because like, since I know I'm going to be on camera, it's like, all right, I'm going to have to put on pants today. I'm going to have to take a shower. I'm going to have to find nice hat to wear to hide all this mess of hair that I have going on right now. So it's it helps me go through the motions even on a weekend and try to keep some sense of a normal routine. So thank you guys for showing up here and giving a crap and motivating us to do it. We really appreciate it. So participate@orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send your emails in a future week if you would like to have them read on the show. All right. Bonds 006 says, well, actually, Rob, you're wrong. Let me tell you how. Rob got mansplained. Yes, I sure did. But you know what? Luckily, I know YYR is a well-intentioned guy, and he's very polite in how he does it. So I will allow it to happen this one time. All right. Let's move on. Let's get to some more news. Loki, not surprised about this next one, how fast it came and went, right?
Yeah, not too surprised. So apparently there's been this project that's been going on for a while. So it's a recompilation project for Mario 64. So basically they were taking the raw source code for Mario 64. And I don't know, I believe that they were reverse engineering all of that. And then once they got it down to the raw source code, they then used modern compilers to compile the game for other systems, including mainly the PC. So allowing them to basically use DirectX 12 or OpenGL to port the game over to PC where it runs natively with, you know, controller support and widescreen and 4K and stuff like that. So pretty cool. Unfortunately, like something like that that would get so much attention, it has been it's being yanked off the internet thanks to Nintendo, and they are sticking their lawyers on these sites that are hosting these files.
And apparently they're shutting down YouTubes and that kind of stuff as well.
Yeah, they're showing up folks that are displaying gameplay from it and stuff.
I have a theory that goes a little deeper on that. But is there something else to this too you want to mention or?
No, that's pretty much it, really. Oh, okay. That they basically had these versions or whatever that were out there. But you know, now you can't do that. I did also find around the same time, though, that there was also a web version of Mario 64 that you can play as well, which I thought was pretty cool, and it ran great.
I was
messing around with that with my Xbox controller, but
That's the one that I looked at, and I thought at first it was like the same thing, which I'm not going to give you the URL, but it's very easily Googleable, so have fun. I was playing that, and it was interesting because it suffered a little bit, like it was nice and all, but it suffered a little bit from that same criticism I had of Final Fantasy VIII earlier, where it's like, look at these very lovely textures, like very weirdly put together.
I don't know if that's the same one or if that's just like an emulator. That may just be an emulator, but
I think it is.
But it's still fun, and it has saves, and so you can do that. But
Let's talk about Nintendo taking down the YouTubes, because I think there's a lot of people going, that's too far, that's stupid, why are they doing that? Go back to those rumors from a couple weeks ago that Nintendo is planning a Mario Onslaught for later this year or next year at this rate. And one of those games that they are talking about is their own HD remaster. Now, certainly, if Nintendo is working on their own HD remaster, you can completely understand why they would yank this other version that's being done. They were going to do that anyway, because we know how Nintendo always goes with IP. But why would they go after the YouTubes as well? Because if Nintendo's about to announce their own product, they don't want footage of that other thing getting mistaken for what they're doing. That's my bet on why they're doing it.
They're just doing it because they can. I mean, there's no repercussions for them doing that, because they've done that in the past about, like, remember they used to have the whole thing where you had to sign up with them in order to have YouTube content for any of their games to be, otherwise they just flag it and kick it off the internet.
It could be low-key, but I feel like it's one of those, they've got their own plans for Mario 64 and they want to control the message, and they do not, like, I think that's why they're going a little further with this, where I feel like there's other Nintendo projects and weird Nintendo fan things. Like, for example, that YouTube of the guy that, God, what was it? He put the Mario cartoon into a Mario game. You remember that from about 6 months ago?
Oh, yeah.
Nintendo didn't shut that down.
Because that wasn't something he released. He didn't release it but
they didn't yank the YouTube, Loki. That's my point. There's a difference here in like how fast. That's just, you know. And again, it might just, you're right, Loki. It might just be Nintendo is just totally controlling their IP. They don't want people to be making money on YouTube off this because they don't have a right to. It's a pirate piece of software. You're right, Loki. That may completely be it. But I can't shake this feeling that the reason why they're doing this so fast and they're doing it so much and stuff on YouTube is because they're about to put their own YouTubes out there of an HD Mario, and they do not want this. Sorry to the developers, but what Nintendo views as a second rate version of the game to get confused with it, and that's why they're yanking the YouTubes.
Maybe we'll have to see, I guess.
Bobby Blackwell says, if they don't take it down, then a different company can actually do it and make money on it, because, well, you didn't shut down that fans version. Well, for the actual game itself, yes, but we've again, I just cited a YouTube project they never took down, so there's like, I feel like things kind of exist in the YouTube forum and these other places that Nintendo doesn't shut down so quickly, if that makes sense. So I don't know. Anyway, SG100 Matt says Disney does the same thing with their IPs. Ripcycled says you got to slap down people using your IP or it becomes slippery to defend. Johnny Wufei says just like the Mario removal in Dreams, but there's still Mario stuff in Roblox, right?
I'm pretty sure that there's Mario stuff. Roblox has all sorts of IP theft in there. It's. I don't play Roblox, so I couldn't tell you offhand. I mean, I could boot it up and take a look, I guess, but no, I don't even know.
I'm sure it's there. All right. You know, when anybody is presented with a creator of some sort, someone is going to recreate World 1-1. It's just an iconic piece of level design. It's always going to be copied. So, all right. Anyhow, moving on. Let's talk about some other stories. Ooh, y'all want some more rumors? Because I got some more rumors for you. rumors outside of EA as to what is happening over there. And apparently, this is a resource that comes from... Actually, I'm just going to go to the original source here. I hate it when I go to a news article and it's just like, we're just rewriting what VentureBeat said about this whole thing, or whatever the website is. In this case, it is VentureBeat. So VentureBeat is saying that EA gave investors an overview of what's coming up for the next fiscal year. So the fiscal year runs from, you know, April to the end of March. So this is everything through March 2021. 14 games are apparently in the works, but they are still going to be working on, of course, like Apex Legends and games that have done very well for them. Those kind of like always giving types of games. They start to name some of the games. Burnout Paradise Remastered on Nintendo Switch. Command & Conquer Remastered PC. Medal of Honor VR. We know all these games, right? A Madden 21. Duh. NHL 21. Of course. Unannounced sports game. An HD remake of an EA game. And then 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, and 14 are all EA... Oh, excuse me. 9, 10, 11, 12 are EA partner game. 13, 14 are EA mobile game. And what is really funny about this article, the very last paragraph... Oh, and that HD remaster of an EA game is the Mass Effect trilogy. Just don't expect that to also launch on Switch, just not at first. Oh, yeah, and some of these games are coming out for Switch, like they're saying Apex Legends possibly on the Switch and so forth. But it's very funny how they kind of drop that little bombshell right at the end. By the way, it's totally the Mass Effect trilogy that is the remastered thing. I have heard this same thing from people I know that know people. So, you know, take it what you will. It obviously would also make a lot of sense. I think a lot of fans have been begging for it. Take us back. I'm one of them. Take us back to the Mass Effect we all know and love. I think there's a lot of people that would really love if this came out on the Switch. Who knows if it will. For me, I kind of like, well, at this point, I'd like to see it on PlayStation 5 and Xbox One Series X. But if these consoles are going to play the older stuff anyway, then fine, whatever. And it's going to be a very interesting chance to maybe remake some of the things that were a problem in one. Not that I'm expecting like a full H. I'm just expecting like, you know, kind of like the general like zhuzhing up of some of the textures. Like, I'm not expecting the game to get completely overhauled. I imagine all the DLC will be included and all that good stuff. But I'm not expecting like a huge, huge overhaul. But maybe with the first game, they might have an opportunity to do things like, well, they can really clean that one up. That's for sure. Official HD mods, basically. Those of you that have been playing on PC probably are already using HD mods. This will just be official HD mods. But they can also fix like the driving sequences, the Mako. They can fix a lot of that stuff. And a really good one that came up on Twitter that I was like, oh, that's a really good one. They could restore the Caden romance in one. The same sex romance that they originally cut, and all the dialogue is still in the game and people like unpatched it and unlocked it. They could restore that. And I think that would be very interesting to restore that. And maybe there's some other things that they cut that they could kind of put back in the game like that. So again, I don't know how much time or how much effort they're putting into this. That I don't know. But Mass Effect trilogy, it's almost certain to be announced throughout this summer events with what's going on. So let's see. Bonds 006 says no Sims news. They remain committed to the Sims. What is it? The Sims 4, right? Is the current one. And kind of like those always thing. There'll be more Sims expansions, I'm sure. Tiger Claw says, knowing Rob, he'll buy this remaster like he buys every version of the Mass Effect trilogy. This is like Star Wars all over again with the re-releases. You bet your ass. SG100 Matt says Mass Effect 1 does need some cleaning up. Some parts of that don't age well graphically. It is on Xbox Game Pass if you want to check it out. But yeah, it just needs a little, like, the first game is where they could make the most improvements to bring it in line with the second and third games, and I think that would be a very solid trilogy package. And I really hope they keep the multiplayer from 3 in there, and I would love it if they would, you know, enhance that a little. Give us some new enemies to fight in there. Maybe, I know this is going to be controversial, but bring in some of the stuff from Andromeda, which I know makes no lore sense whatsoever, but whatever, it's multiplayer. Bring in some of the stuff from Andromeda to have us fight in the Mass Effect 3 multiplayer. I think that would be really fun. So let's see. We'll see some of the details when this inevitably gets announced over the summer, and I'm very excited about it. All right. So Loki, what do you have next for us?
Okay. So Let's see. We've got some information about a Fortnite player who's been banned from playing competitively. Now, this Fortnite player was only 9 years old and was playing, I guess, in was playing Arena, which I guess isn't a tournament, but he got banned for being under, I guess, the minimum age, which is 13. And you guess you can thank Coppa for that as well. So, I don't know. I know that there's a lot of those like agreements online that, especially like if you have social media accounts and stuff like that, you have to sign that says, "Oh yeah, you're of age 13 or whatever," because they have rules about advertising to children in there. And so, I suppose if you violate that rule, then you could be banned from that stuff. They did ban him for 4 years, which, based on his age, would actually make him 13, so he'd be eligible to enter competitions at the time.
Now, I just want to say quickly, like, because that was the first thing that came to my mind, too, is that, like, okay, even though these headlines are going around going, 9-year-old gets banned from Fortnite, and, you know, those are the big flashy headlines and so forth, it kind of you kind of go, oh, okay, well, considering kids are not supposed to do things online until they're 13 anyway, or companies aren't supposed to have that because of the CCOPA law, it makes sense, and it's not as sensationalist as a lot of blogs are making it out to seem. But Jason and I were texting a little bit before the show, and Jason kind of brought up the point that, like, actually, you can go around it with parental permission. And it sounds like the parents want him to be a part of that. But I could see a place where maybe Epic has a company policy where, like, they don't want to deal with permission slips. So they just have a policy of 13 or older, and that's it. And that's part of what you agree to when you sign up for the game. I'm not an expert on Fortnite, and I certainly didn't read the end user license agreement in it. But that's just a theory, I guess, that I would have.
Yeah, possibly. I mean, I don't know. I would imagine that there's probably similar guidelines for, like, other games out there, like Roblox and stuff, but that doesn't stop my kids from playing it, so I don't know.
I was trying to see. Considering how providers have to treat COPPA, allowed users' data as special, Epic could also decide that they just won't bother and not allow the user due to not being able or willing to fulfill the requirements of the terms. Yeah, I imagine the vast majority of everyone not specifically expecting children under the age of 13 as users do this. Yeah, that's kind of where my brain is at, is that they just don't. Again, that was a text from Jason I was reading. That's kind of where I think Epic is at with this, is that they just don't want to bother with it, so they're not going to let you play till you're 13.
Yeah.
Yeah. And considering it is kind of a shooty-shooty-bang-bang game of sorts, maybe they just don't want to get into... I mean, they probably are well aware that kids are playing it, but it's not something they want to officially acknowledge. You know, even if it's cartoony, it might just be a little bit, you know, but puts them in a bad light, I suppose. I don't know. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Yep. Yeah, too bad, but I guess I'll have to go play something else.
All right. Well, meanwhile, let's talk about Cyberpunk updates. So Cyberpunk 2077, of course, that's going to be a huge release this summer. We all know that, right? One of the big headlines for this, well, there's a couple things. Number one, it's going to get its own event in June, which isn't very surprising. We knew it was going to be an all-star game at the E3 that would have hypothetically happened this year, although now, obviously, with that all getting... tabled because of everything else going on in the world, Cyberpunk is going to do their own online event that's going to happen in June. And they're calling it Night City Wire. And it's going to happen on June 11th. So that is just, I guess, the teaser that's happening. I imagine that is going to be the gameplay trailer that we probably would have seen at E3, right?
Yeah. It's going to be probably some more gameplay. Like, I mean, they've already shown quite a bit of gameplay. And that stuff was actual gameplay. Like, you watch them playing the actual game. Like, that is a gameplay trailer. What we saw, not a gameplay trailer. That is an in-engine trailer.
Now, I'm sure no one is surprised that Cyberpunk 2077 has been rated M for mature. Okay?
Yeah.
Let's talk about why.
Because of all the nudity and the extreme violence. Yeah.
Here's the summary. Some locations depict mutilated corpses with open chest cavities and or exposed organs and entrails. During one quest, players assist a character by hammering nails through his hands and feet. Screaming sounds and blood effects accompany the scene. Wow. That is something very interesting. And also, players can select a gender and customize their character. Customization can include depictions of breasts, buttocks, and genitalia, as well as various sizes and combinations of genitals. So we will leave it to your imagination just how free the character customization will be.
Saints Row did it first.
Yes. Did you just Simpsons did it, this whole thing? But
you have the sexiness meter in Saints Row. Like, if you slide it the female or whatever, it just made your boobs bigger. If you slide the male, it made your package bigger.
Yeah. So anyway, and again, we don't know the specifics. We just know what's coming from the ESRB. So it does sound like things are going to be highly customizable in the game, which, you know what? Cool. You know, people lose hours and hours in character creation mode. Me, I'm at the point where I'm just like, I'm going to select a pre-selected character and then pick the hair I want and just go from there. That's how I make my characters in games now. I just find the pre-selected character, then I change it to the hair I like. That's it. But all right. Other people are going to spend hours and hours in the customizer doing every possible combination they can think of. So have fun. All right. Let's get to the listener roundtable. So you guys can ask us some questions in our chat room if you'd like over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, VOG Network. If there's anything you'd like us to bring up or discuss here on the program, we can do that. Otherwise, I'll look to Loki to buy us a little time with some last-minute stories.
Yes, and I do have a few things. So apparently there's some old phone games that you can play for free. So Gameloft Classics, 20 years. Is a collection of 30 old phone games, some from back in 2007, that are now playable on Android devices.
What old ass games are there besides Snake?
Gangstar, Modern Combat.
I don't know. These are like old ass games. I remember on my old ass Sprint flip phone that I had that like had the color screen. You remember that guy? It like had a really shitty camera in it too, and you could take selfies on it because it had like that front screen that was really bad.
Okay, here we go.
It had games, like color games on it. Like there was like a Castlevania port on that thing. It was really bad.
Not sure if you would know most of these titles here, but they have them broken up by genre: puzzle, fun, run and gun, life and love, arcade, action, and sports and cards. So some of the titles we have here, we have Date or Ditch 2, High School Hookups, Modern Combat 2, Black Pegasus, Gangstar 2, Kings of L.A., Zombiewood, Alien Quarantine.
I don't know any of this shit.
Generic stuff. So neat that's out there and you can play it for free. So go check it out if you have an Android phone, I guess. I don't know if it's on iOS, but it's on Android at least.
I probably will not get on that anytime soon, especially because I don't recognize any of those games you mentioned. Anything else?
There was a video that I guess... was in a video that was published regarding some technology that's showing like hand tracking that's going to be used in Sony's new VR controllers. And they were showing off, apparently there's a paper that was uploaded to Upload VR as well, talking about how that's working. It says evaluation of machine learning techniques for hand pose estimation on handheld device with proximity sensor. Yes. Those research papers that have such, you know, fancy titles. And the video shows like some pretty awesome hand tracking on what looks like a really old school looking controller, but obviously it's meant for just the hand tracking and stuff. But it's very, very accurate to pretty much any pose you can make with your hand. So pretty neat. It'd be interesting to see how that is incorporated into a new VR controller. Anything's better than the Move.
All right. Anything else? Our chat's being pretty quiet when it comes to questions or comments, which is fine. I know there's a lot of other stuff going on in the world. By the way, because I forgot to mention at the top of the show, because I had some other housekeeping I needed to get talk about. But I do want to wish all of our mothers out there a happy Mother's Day. Whether you're a mom yourself or you want to go wish your mom a happy Mother's Day, or, you know, motherly figure, you know, pet moms and so forth. You know, if you believe this day applies to you, then happy Mother's Day to you.
Yeah, I got nothing really else to talk about, I guess.
All right.
Straight up out of news, I guess.
Okay, some questions here. Sia Tabiri in chat says, okay, so I've been enjoying Murder by Numbers, the P-Cross investigation game. Any fun crossover genre games you enjoy? Oh, wow, crossover genre games. I'm stumped in the moment trying to think of anything.
I don't really play it anymore, but Puzzle Quest is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, Puzzle Quest is awesome. They have a free version of that on Steam, and I don't remember the name of it, but like that whole model kind of went free to play some time ago. Because like there was the Marvel Puzzle Quest. That was the first free-to-play one I could think of. And now there's a more traditional one that's all it's all free-to-play now.
I used to like back in Android, and this is a pretty old game, but Swords and Poker, which was pretty fun.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to think what else was kind of cool.
I don't know if this is considered like genre, but I always liked when they did like the puzzle game that the platformer folks would show up in, like Yoshi's Cookie. And we were talking earlier about like Puyo Puyo, but with Sonic and with Yoshi and some of those like crossover. I don't know if that really is the genre bending that you're looking for, but that comes to my mind where it's like platformers crossed with puzzler. Actually, Yoshi's Cookie was like a way better puzzle game than I think most people gave it credit for. I also really enjoyed Pokemon Puzzle League, which is another one of those, which was Tetris Attack, but with Pokemon. So there's that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying to think what else. Let's see.
We've got some other questions here, and these are some good ones here. SSJ100 Matt says, thoughts on the Final Fantasy VII Remake Part 2 being in the early stages? Do you think it will get fast-tracked because of the big success of the first part? I can't believe it's only in the early stages. Come on. Like, what? What's taken so like I cannot. This game should already be like. I guess maybe they didn't. They knew it was a risk and they were worried that the game wasn't going to do well or something. I just worry that this game's going to take forever now. But maybe now that the engine is done and they have a process, maybe it won't take that long because the Final Fantasy 13-2 was only what like 2 years after the first one. So fingers and toes crossed. But I am a little shocked. Like they're just now starting it. Like, yeah. I would have thought it was, yeah, anyway.
Well, like I said before, I think it's less development time for this one because they've already got the engine built now for everything, and they've got it kind of working the way they want it to, and it's now basically developing the content for it. So some of that's going to be kind of, I mean, they've got the characters modeled and everything and some of the environments already, so I would imagine the turnaround time for development is going to be much smaller, but yeah, I would think that I hope so too.
Cause I think Final Fantasy 13 was challenged in development a lot. Like I know they changed the platform they were using to develop it partway through. So I'm hoping that like now it's all kind of set that they can kind of turn around to part two faster. Cause like, obviously if they wait 5 or 7 years or however long it took us to get Final Fantasy VII Remake, like that's just not going to work. So hopefully they can get it turned out in 2 to 3. But then, you know, you start to look at, well, how many parts is Final Fantasy VII going to be? And honestly, the answer is we don't know. There's too many people that are quick to assume, oh, well, because it's only takes you like a third of the way through the first disc, there's going to be like 6 different games, to which I say, that's not how it works. That's all I can say. So we don't know how many parts it could be. It could be just 2 parts. It could be 3 parts. It could be 7 parts. We just don't know. Anyway.
I was going to say, kind of go back to that first question. Yeah. Crypt of the Necrodancer would be.
Oh, that's a good one. For genre bending game? Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. I like that. Good. Yeah, that's good. Those types of games that are like, they're roguelikes, but they're this too. What was the trailer for, like, somebody passes on Twitter. It was like a shooter / music game / roguelike.
Yeah, so I've got a few of those in my wish list. So there's there's Gun Jam is one of those, and BPM Bullets Per Minute is another one.
That was it, Bullets Per Minute. So yeah. Anyway, yeah.
I think Gun Jam is one where you have to like shoot in rhythm with there's like a thing that comes up the screen, almost like Guitar Hero, something like that. And then same with one of them is just shooting. The other one is like shooting and movement and everything is all done in time. So I don't know. It's pretty cool.
Zeba in our chat asks, did you guys talk about the Final Fantasy XI mobile rumor screenshots? Excuse me, hiccups.
I don't want to talk about it.
Mobile Rumor Screenshots League.
I'm constantly disappointed that it's not coming out anytime soon.
Ziba, I did see the pictures, and it does look really good, like in HD, at least the few screenshots we saw. And when I see that stuff, I can't help but feel overwhelming disappointment that it's going to be on mobile. And that's just the I still do not understand how this game is going to translate to mobile. And that's like that key missing piece for me. And until I understand that, it's so hard for me to get excited. Because honestly, I see those screenshots and I'm like, why can't you just make a new PC client with that?
What? Because they want you to go to 14. I don't know.
So that's the part where I'm struggling. I guess it's all a rumor anyway. Maybe we were supposed to find out more at E3 this year. Maybe we still find out. We'll find out more in the summer.
Yeah,
who knows?
I did see that screenshot that they had of Windhurst or whatever, where I thought that was a fan, like that they were upgrading the game, like the client for the game or something like that. I thought that was a fan mod or something like that when I saw it originally. But I didn't realize that was a screenshot from the actual mobile game.
ActDeft in chat says maybe it'll get ported over to the Switch. You know, some mobile games do end up on the Switch like that. So I guess even if we're talking about a mobile game, it isn't impossible that it ends up on consoles. For example, the you know that game I really liked last year, that Sayonara Wild Hearts? That game that's very artistic and flair and the music's very good. That's a mobile game, but they put it on consoles too. It's just a very simple control scheme, right? It's just one button instead of tapping the screen. So I suppose anything's possible with that, but all we have right now are rumors. All we have is what they've told us, and that is that they plan to do 11 on mobile. We don't know anything beyond that yet, but honestly, Switch would make a lot of sense. So you joke, but ... Anyway, let's see. One more here. Cheeseburger 94 in chat says, what's this newfangled Twatch chat? And what happened to the good old IRC chat? Oh, you must have, you clearly haven't been here in about a year and a half. Yes, we moved to Twitch in December of 2018. And a big part of that was that, number one, more and more shows are moving to Twitch because Twitch has more discoverability. Twitch is very easy to have, like the mobile app, the PlayStation 4 app. A lot of gamers know what you're talking about when you talk about Twitch, and so it's very easy to find us and discover us on Twitch. And the reality was, as much as we loved Shoutcast and being like MP3 radio and all that, number one, we were paying quite a bit of money to run that feed and host that feed. Number two, people aren't discovering Shoutcast feeds and all that the same way they're discovering Twitch. And honestly, and I know, you know, anytime you make a big change with the show, people are going to say, but I like the old way. But the reality is, like, our listening numbers would still decline. And look, it's not all about the listener numbers, but at the same time, it's like if we're only, you know, there's going to come a point where, like, if literally nobody's listening, then we're going to be like, all right, well, I don't know, you know. So moving to Twitch has helped our audience grow a little bit. And some new people have found us because of that, and that's been a great thing. And we get to broadcast this show for free. If you miss the audio thing, two things. You can always listen to the podcast feed. That hasn't changed. And number two, the Twitch client, and this is another thing I really like about it, on the mobile phone, Twitch has an audio-only mode. A lot of people don't know that it's there, but if you go into your settings, you can make it audio only. So if you don't want to look at my ugly mug, you don't have to. You can switch it into audio only mode. And that's
and if you don't
totally
want to look
fine.
At my ugly mug, well, you're in luck for the next few months.
Yeah. Pod Culture says, I missed the Skype line. Well, again, things have to change. We were paying for Skype. More gamers know what Discord is in this day and age. Skype was having a lot of conflicts and errors and issues. And, you know, I miss the old Skype. I'm going to leave. That's my retort. I miss Skype too. The old Skype. So, anyway, let's see. Pixel Paca says, the only problem with Twitch is that my Australian friend cannot watch live very well. Almost all Twitch streams constantly buffer for her. But you can do audio only or get the podcast later. Yes, that's very true. And I imagine that Shoutcast probably would have buffered a little bit as well that far away. Who knows? But yeah, audio only will help cut back a lot and make it a little more, especially if you're I don't know where in Australia your friend lives, but if it's somewhere where the internet connection isn't as strong, then the audio only will probably help a little bit of that. Yeah. SG100 Matt says they don't miss the constant battle every time Skype had an update that would bork something else. It's that, unfortunately. It is very much that. And we know that a lot of gamers have embraced Discord right now. I'm not saying Discord's going to be the only way to do it forever. I remain open to other ideas, but we'll see. All right. Anyway, thank you. Great questions tonight for the roundtable. Any other last-minute stories we didn't get to, Loki, that you want to mention before we wrap up?
No, that's it.
All right. Then I guess that means we wrap up. So that's going to do it for another episode of Orange Lounge Radio tonight. Thank you, of course, everybody here. Whether you were live on glorious video or whether you were here for the pod or for just the audio only on Twitch or whether you're here on the podcast feed, no matter how you consume Orange Lounge Radio, we thank you for being a part of it. And you could help us out a lot by spreading the word. Help us spread the word because we are the show where every gamer has a voice. But if the voices aren't here to put out on air, what else? Then we don't get them. Also, an auto host here on Twitch on your own channel for VOG Network. So helpful. I can't even tell you. The power of hosting and rating is really great on Twitch. So we really appreciate all of that. And, of course, a big thanks to anybody who followed, subscribed, or rated or anything like that tonight. I will acknowledge all you guys after we're done recording the podcast for tonight. Just thank you for showing up and being here. And thanks again to all the gamer moms out there. And hope you had all a great Mother's Day today. Let's get to final thoughts. Final thought. Loki, your final thought tonight.
So my final thought is I was told by my work that we're not going back, or I'm not even saying that. They're not even considering us, the conversation about going back until at least September 1st. So I'm going to be working from home for a long time.
Yeah, and I don't know how long OLR is going to do the distance thing as well. I miss being in studio with everybody, but it's one of those when the scientists say it's safe, then we'll do it. Until then, we will follow the rules. So, and that's that. And even then, I kind of don't want to force Loki or Jamie to have to be here in person for a good period after that while we kind of like make sure everything is good, if that makes sense. I'm sure you can all understand that. With that, my final thought is it was a shorter show than usual tonight, but that leaves me more time to go play games. Maybe I can sell stuff at Nooks before they close for the night. That'll be good. All right. Have a great week, everybody. Happy gaming. We will see you here in 7 days. Again, we're sending a lot of love to Dark Sakura and her friends and family. We'll see you next week to talk more about games. Have a good week, everybody. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VOGNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VOG Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.